Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
Hi.
Goodbye, baby.
6:09. Still cold.
Yes,
it's gonna be cold tomorrow. Nicer on Sunday. Raise your hands now if you haven't taken down your Christmas decorations. Of course you haven't. Nobody has.
I did.
What?
Yeah, they're all done.
In this cold, you took down your Christmas decorations?
Oh, outside.
Yes.
No, I don't have any outside.
It's funny. I've never seen the Christmas decorations, the lights up this late in the year. It's because nobody's taken them down because it's miserable outside. Yeah.
There are a lot.
It's only 5 days. I mean, most people, like the Christmas tree recycling doesn't even start in the city until this weekend.
My neighbors usually keep theirs up till February.
Yeah, I keep mine up till mid-January.
There's a law in Aurora. Will find you if they're up at, I think, February 1st or January 31st, maybe. You have to have them down or you get a fine.
It seems like people are, except for now because it's so freezing cold.
Freaking cold.
Sorry about that.
Freaking cold.
Yeah, it's so freezing cold. But it seems like people keep them up later now.
I haven't noticed that. Usually right after the New Year's.
See, I always keep them up.
But Sunday, just plan on it. I mean, if you had plans, forget about it. Sunday, you're taking your lights down.
32 degrees.
So there you go. 32 is going to be
possible high.
Going to the beach.
It's funny because a friend of mine has three kids, and she's like, yeah, they've been cooped up in the house because it's been so cold. She's like, but I think Sunday,
lock them outside.
We're going to take them out. We're going to go ice skating. It's going to be 32.
Ice skating. Go to the park.
Yeah.
Have a picnic. At 6:11, Mark Carmen is in for Dave Ennett. Dave Ennett is on his way to Penn State for a game. When is that tonight?
That is tonight, 7 o'clock. You can listen to it on AM 1000, Blackhawks Hockey.
How are you?
I'm great.
How was your holiday season?
My holiday season was great, Steve. I've got, I still have my makeshift menorah sticky thing up in the window, so, so that hasn't been taken down yet. So, you know, to contribute there.
Are you a practicing...
practicing.
Are you a practicing Jew, or are you an honorary Jew?
I mean, I would call myself...
You're a hobby Jew, where you only show up at temple occasionally?
Right. I'm the Yom Kippur Rosh Hashanah guy. Okay. But
you do know all three holidays? You've committed them to memory?
I do. Okay. September 6, 1986, Steve, Bar Mitzvah. Me and Matt Meadows were up there. I thought my Haftorah was incredibly strong.
Mm-hmm.
And the party at Hackney's on Lake that nobody came to because it was the opener of the Bears season.
Oh, wait. Nobody came to your bar mitzvah?
Not, the kid party was a rough scene because it was game one of after the Bears won the Super Bowl. I know Dan Hampton.
Give him a hug. Nobody came to his
right?
bar mitzvah.
God, that's seriously. My goodness.
It is sad that I'm still holding this 31 years later. But nobody,
no, I'm not harboring anything.
Did you have the onion loaf?
Yes, the onion loaf was there. See, we even had the onion loaf and they didn't come.
I would have gone.
Don't you spend a lot of money, or parents spend a lot of money on these?
Well, not when you're 12.
Oh, no, they're like weddings.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, Mark didn't spend it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I said, don't your parents spend a lot of money on these?
I think Hackney's on Lake on a Sunday afternoon is a low-level expenditure for your standard, you know, bar mitzvah. I mean, a lot of my friends, you know, they get the hotel.
But why didn't they come? Were you a bad kid?
No, it was, I'm telling you, it
couldn't have been the Bears.
See,
I'm sure it was.
Well, I'm sure it was, too.
I mean, that guy was a moderately popular kid. It wasn't like you have to go to Carmen's bar mitzvah. It was at the end of the bar mitzvah season.
That is the end of the year.
You know, September.
All right. Enough of your bar mitzvah.
Just so you know, in case you were worried about Dave Ennett, last night he told me they had a horrible flight, severe turbulence, and they're trying to land into State College, so they were diverted to Pittsburgh and then had to drive 2.5 hours.
Yeah, what did I tell him yesterday? I told him.
Don't go. Yeah. So, or drive.
Anyway, he wasn't sure when he was getting to bed. I'm just kidding. So he landed somewhere, though.
Thank God he's there. I was so worried. All right, we got to get after this because Lou's coming up, and I'm going to kick somebody off the show today. Yet to be determined, somebody on this show loses their gig today.
Yep.
Yeah, so we'll announce that coming up. It's not really. They're just leaving for a new job.
I was going to say, it might be Dave Ennett with his excuses.
All right, top six. Let's jump right. Forget it. Oh, we got to do the introduction. Here we go.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
with the top 6 at 6. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
And as always, Lou is ready to answer you and your questions about your fix it situation. First caller for Lou at 312-981-7200. Hang on the phone for a bit and we'll get to you in about 5 minutes. Item number one, investigation details, secretive contacts with lobbyists
contract
on a $2 billion Illinois lottery contract. $2 billion. A top staffer for the Illinois Lottery failed to disclose her relationships and contact with lobbyists for a firm that was bidding for a massive deal to manage the lottery. State investigations uncovered all of this. No criminal charges yet?
Nope. In fact, the state reinstated the contract last week after a 5-week investigation that by an outside law firm, surprisingly, determined that the lapses were not significant enough to affect the bidding process.
So, in other words, the $2 billion deal wasn't big enough, or it would have been within a margin of error. There would have been $1.8 billion, maybe somebody else might have come in and we'd have saved $200 million, but no big deal?
Perhaps. They just said that the lapses weren't significant enough to affect the fairness of the bidding process. And, you know, Illinois doesn't have a history of giving out no-bid contracts at all.
No. What would we?
No. Actually, Camelot was the only bidder for the contract.
That's ridiculous. Why would that be the case?
I don't know.
Okay, is there going to be further investigation into this?
There is.
Will you look into this? You
continues.
Look into this.
I will.
All right.
Live from the Illinois Lottery.
All right, next. Sub-zero wind chills in the Northeast in the next couple of days after a storm with hurricane-strength winds just punched the Northeast right in the face. In New York City, it was awful. How about minus 20 tonight and Saturday night as well? Forecast for the summit of Mount Washington in New Hampshire this has got to be a wind chill, right? Minus 95 degrees? That's got to be a wind chill.
It's a wind chill for sure.
Yeah. 4,000 flights were grounded yesterday. Hundreds have been canceled today. If you're flying out of O'Hare or Midway, check. Because even if you're going west, they've had to divert planes.
Yeah.
And could be affected. All right, next. Sears is going to close 103 more stores, including the one at Orland Square, as the retail apocalypse continues. Next. What is brain surgery? Alex Trebek on medical leave from Jeopardy. Alex Trebek had unannounced a very serious medical issue and a blood clot in his brain, if not multiple clots, that had to be dealt with. Now, they think he's going to be fine.
Yes. He's 77.
Yeah. Great shape.
He's great.
Yeah. Next. Golden Globes are Sunday night. Seth Meyers will be the host. First time he's done that. It's the first major award show since all the sexual misconduct stuff. And all the women are said to be in tasteful black dresses.
Mm-hmm. That's what the plan is. Yes, they all have been told, or they all have kind of bonded together and said, we're going to wear black.
And there's some new pin. Do you know what? Look this new pin up.
Okay.
There's a new pin that everybody's supposedly wearing.
Okay.
And finally, the biggest of the big stories. Today is Mary Vandeveld's birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Go Mary.
Yay. Oh, I made the top 6 at 6?
Yeah.
Wow.
But only because there's a bigger item than you.
Oh.
Mike Jacobson is leaving the program.
Oh. So sad.
Yes.
Man.
I've been claiming it's Steve Cochran Island. We're going to throw somebody off. No, Mike's taking another job.
Yeah, he is.
Congratulations,
yay,
dude.
Mikey.
Go Mike.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
We're going to miss you.
We're going to miss you a whole lot.
And it's an honor on this last day. It's the only time ever that he's worked for this show, that he is working without his White Sox hat on.
How about that? Didn't recognize him in the elevator today.
It's like, who are you?
I mean, I didn't even recognize him. I said, who's this guy? And then he's taking my thunder on my birthday.
Right.
I know. Can you believe it?
So this means that the alter ego goes as well.
Well, that's the problem.
Oh,
we've
man.
Never revealed who Mary Vandeveld's conscience
did, right?
is until right now.
Oh.
Mike Jacobson has played the role of Mary Vandeveld's conscience.
Oh. Cat's out of the bag.
My partner in crime.
I wonder how the conscience feels about that.
Much more on Mike later, including the fact that he owes the IRS a lot of money. What? No, that's not true. What am I talking about? Top 6 brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. American Weathermakers, thank you for that. And Lou's first call is next. All right, birthday girl, what do you got?
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
standing by live at Channel 9. Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year to you.
What'd you do New Year's Eve?
What are you doing New Year? I always spend it with my family and a group of friends in Wisconsin.
That's right. That's right. Because I invited your entire group and you said, not a chance. Remember when you said that? Remember when you said, not a chance? I'd never come to one of your shows.
I love you, but not a chance.
So, well, Happy New Year, buddy. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, we did. And your shows?
The show went great. We only had one this year. Huh? One was enough.
And feel like two?
We had, I don't know, 750 people that came out in the freezing cold.
Yeah.
So good for
it
them.
It was cold. That's commitment.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. So nice time had by all. All right, before we get to what's happening here, John DeCosta standing by as well. And
John. Good morning, Lou.
And I'll give Mike Jacobson, who's had a very busy week.
Yeah, he got engaged. Congratulations.
And today is his last day on the show. He's leaving for a brand new job. He's going to be a big shot boss at a place.
I didn't know he was leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And by the way, it's something you said.
What did I say?
I don't know. He just said he was mad and he's going.
Oh.
He
finally figured out, what am I doing wasting my time here?
No, well, I don't know. It was something you said to him. I just said, well, wait, can we fix it? He said, no, I'm done with it. I said, he's only on once a week. He said, doesn't matter, I'm out.
Well, it took him over a year to figure out the Buckthorn problem with Dave, and he still hasn't figured it out.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I understand. I get it.
You know what? You should take the Buckthorn with you. It should be one of your parting gifts.
Just every time he misses you.
Make it your ringtone. But he's got a great new job. We'll talk more about that coming up. But anyway, it's 6:23. Let's get to Beverly. Beverly in Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Beverly.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm having condensation on the inside of my windows. I don't know if my thermostat is set right or not.
Everybody has this, Beverly. It's not just you. Don't feel bad.
This Beverly is because it is so cold and so dry outside that the moisture inside your home, if you have a whole house humidifier, even just living your life, you create moisture. And because it's so cold, it hits that glass. The glass is doing exactly what it's supposed to do when you see that moisture, is that it's holding it in. One of the things that can be helpful in this really cold, cold weather is if you have ceiling fans, to run them on reverse, on low, or if you don't have a ceiling fan, crazy as it sounds, you could just take a regular box fan and literally put it in a room and kind of point it towards the wall or near where those windows are to try and get some air movement. That'll move some of the moisture around. It'll actually make the home more comfortable, other than having the fan blowing directly on you, and it should help to temper this issue. But with this extreme cold weather, this moisture issue is a huge thing for a lot of people. And while we're in the midst of this cold, you're probably just going to have to take a towel or something and just wipe up the bottom, because if it sits there too long, it can form mildew, and then eventually it can start to harm the wood frames of the windows.
Thank you. Yes.
All right. Well, I hope that helps, Beverly, because what you've also done here is you've won an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allowing you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. It's brought to you by American Weathermakers, home of the 60-minute men. Call 855-955-HVAC. And thank you for that. Hold on for us, okay, Beverly?
Sure.
Thanks for listening. All right. So let's go around the room. Anybody? Anybody with a question? Yes, Mark Carmen.
Lou, if you're not spending a lot of time in your home right now, perhaps, how much danger would you say I'm in, and what can I do to mitigate this circumstance without just running the heat? We don't want an explosion in the old condo.
Well, I mean, the thing is, if you're going to be gone for a while, it's okay to turn the heat down to save some energy, because then it's not going to run as often. So my recommendation has always been to people that if you're not going to be there for a while, put it down to 55 degrees. If you have plants in the home, that's not going to harm them at all. And if there's a way to monitor what's going on in your home, that would be great. Now, with one of these Wi-Fi thermostats that American Weathermakers gives away every week, you can check on the temperature of the home from your smartphone. You can say, hey, it's still at 55 degrees. There is this product, this works better in a home, Mark, rather than a condo, an inexpensive product for around $25 called a Winter Guard, that is something you plug into the wall and you plug a lamp into, and you put the lamp in the front window. And if you're going to be gone, you're heading down to Florida, Arizona for a couple weeks or a few months, and you have a neighbor that that is going to be around, you just tell them, I'm putting a lamp in the front window, and if that lamp turns on, my heat is off.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's a temperature sensitive lamp?
Yeah. It's a temperature sensitive device that you plug your lamp into.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's only $25. It's called a Winter Guard. It's been around for a long time.
Really?
And it's an inexpensive way. You know, it's not as fancy of a way as these Wi-Fi thermostats, which I think are cool. And by the way, on many of these Wi-Fi thermostats right now, which a lot of people are installing, ComEd still has, I believe, a $100 rebate because these things are not inexpensive. They have like a $100 rebate on many of them. So if you've been on the fence about it, now's your time to go out and get it.
Anybody else? Staff questions? John DeCuss.
Actually, Lou, not a question, but a compliment.
Ooh.
My wife and I, we broke an interior glass window.
We are not taking compliments.
Right. Oh, Mike Jameson's leaving.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Your compliment is you broke a window.
We broke an interior glass window. Yeah, there we go. That's not too redundant. And we took it out. Took it to Ace Hardware. They fixed it, recaulked it for a minimal fee, and brought it back home and popped it in.
Oh,
and it was easy peasy.
Oh, we like that.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, we do like it.
I didn't
that.
Know Ace fixed
Can't
windows.
Get that
I didn't
on know Amazon. That either.
Do you fix windows at your stores?
We do. We fix a lot of windows at our stores.
What about that? By the way, you keep mentioning that thermostat, which is great, or that the Wi-Fi situation. I want the listeners to know, we give away one of those every week, but Andre, as you know...
Yeah.
I keep the computer specs on all of those, and I have an app where I can adjust the listener's temperature for them. So for each of you who've won one of these, I have control over the temperature
in your house.
What the heck
is going on? I set this thing or whatever. I don't know. Steve must be messing with it.
Hey, Lou, the ceiling fans, do you rotate them a different way in the wintertime?
I mean, it doesn't really matter because all we're trying to do is get some airflow. The reason you put it on reverse is that in the wintertime, you don't want to feel a draft.
Right.
Like Steve and I are old, and we start to go into rooms and say, "Is there a draft in here?"
Why you got to include me on? I mean, it's true, but why do you have to include me on?
I'm just trying. It's your show.
Oh, that's a good point.
So just keep it in reverse, though.
Yeah, it's just a little switch.
Yeah,
it's a little switch, and so the reverse. The idea there is that as it pulls the air up and the air cascades down, you know, hits the ceiling down the wall, you're less likely to feel the draft. But then again, if you have a couch on an outside wall and you have it on reverse, it could actually have the opposite effect, and so having it run the regular way makes more sense. But remember, physics is physics. All the hot air that we're spending all this money on right now, it's 7 to 10 degrees warmer at the ceiling, depending on how tall your ceilings are, than the rest of your home where you spend most of your time. Circulating that air will help you be more comfortable.
Also, we live upside down in our head.
Right, you're like Stranger Things.
It's an odd thing.
You're like Stranger Things. The upside down world.
The upside down.
So, hey, Lou, we had our furnace and our air conditioning.
Would that be you and Pat Boyle from Comcast NBC Sports?
Yeah. We're probably due for a new one in the next 2 years, is
new
what
husband?
I've been told. No. Oh. I'm going to keep him a little bit longer. And so when they came for the check where they put that big filter in, you know, mm-hmm. in the fall, mm-hmm. the guy told us that the humidifier wasn't working and he was going to get a part and it was like $100. And then he called and said he can't get that part any longer, so I'll need a new one, and it's like $300 and then $150 right. or whatever to put it in. And I just asked him, if we're going to be getting a new furnace in the next 2 years, is it make sense to get the new humidifier now, or am I going to have to replace that also when we get the new furnace? Like, it'll be a combo deal.
Well, so the humidifier is always a separate unit from a furnace, and so if you were to replace that now, I mean, right now with this cold, dry weather, that humidifier is really critical from a standpoint of comfort mm-hmm. and overall energy efficiency, because it allows that more the better the humidity level in the home,
sure.
the more comfortable you are.
Sure.
And so if you install a new unit for, you know, whatever, $400 or $500,
mm-hmm.
when you get your new furnace, they'll just take that one off and put it on.
Oh, okay. I just wanted that's
yeah,
what he said, but I wanted to ask
yourself,
you. Okay.
Without it. And the other thing, too, is I've told people this as well. Even though we've gotten some calls about, or a call about the moisture on the glass, you can have a whole house humidifier and still have really dry areas of your home because it doesn't get there. So those furthest rooms from where your furnace is, one of these portable ultrasonic humidifiers can make a world of difference, especially in bedrooms where it might be the farthest room from the furnaces. adding a small ultrasonic in there will help you sleep a lot better and, you know, eliminate that dry throat, dry nose.
I like to have one desert room in the house during the winter.
Right. We actually have one of those in our bedroom, but not because it's uncomfortable, because we need it for the noise.
Oh, as a noisemaker?
Yeah, ours makes noise because we are a sensitive sleeping crew, and we need noisemakers.
Good God, what goes on at your house?
I know.
I have a really good noisemaker that I featured that I think you should all look at called Electrofan.
Electro, L-E-E-L-E-C-T-R-O. Electro? Well, spell it.
L-E-C-T-R-O.
That's what I thought. I'm just trying to give you credit for spelling the entire word.
They make one that you plug in, and then they make a small portable one, since you're a sensitive sleeper, Mare.
Yes.
It looks like a small little makeup container.
Okay.
That you plug into a USB. It'll run for 16 hours, and it is so loud. I mean, it can be, because you can adjust the sound.
Mm-hmm.
You can stick it in your purse or a bag. You won't even know you're carrying it. And you can set it up in a hotel room if you travel.
So that's all just for sound.
Because that's something that's an issue when we go to hotels.
It's like an adult blankie.
Yeah.
Right.
It's I have to move
past. What does Mark Carman have? What's he got, a bunny?
That would be
duck.
Arnold the Duck.
And now
the duck. I've added Akumel the Turtle, Lou.
Akumel the Turtle.
God. The show only goes till 10. Wow, we can only deal with all of these, like, right.
Another therapy.
I have no problem with the duck, by the way.
Thank you, Mark.
I heard that whole conversation. And you know what? If that brings you comfort, who am I to judge?
Mark Carman has a duck that he sleeps with, for those of you
not knowing
what the hell we're talking about.
I'll call you later. We'll talk about Mark.
847, Lou, having bowls of water around the house, does it add moisture to the air?
Sure.
All right. let's see.
Like a makeshift humidifier.
847, Lou, we're looking to replace our 1985 era toilets. What is it, like a Huey Lewis in the News toilet or something? 1985. The Kohler Kelston model toilet is rated very high. Any downsides to the 1.2 version? Oh, look at us throwing that around. Sounds like an old Steve Martin plumbing joke.
Yeah, I mean, the Toto makes a fine product. The lower flush toilets with using less water sometimes can have issues with solids. But for the most part...
I just cut to the chase.
Yeah. You know, if it were me and you're going to buy new toilets, now would be the time to do a dual flush toilet. Because I think that for that whole reason, to save the water, the fact of the matter is the dual flush toilets use even less water for liquids. And so you can maximize your water savings by doing that.
I really thought I would never get used to the low water toilet thing. And you do after a while. But it's still, that's ridiculous. I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
708, Steve and Lou and Arnold the Duck. What's the best product to use to remove old varnish from your woodwork? Love the bear.
Well, I mean, there's a myriad of products, but if you want to do it gently and slowly, there's a terrific product called Howard's Restore a Finish in the neutral variety with quadruple zero steel wool.
All right, I'm super late here, but one more question. The temperature around my front door is 6 degrees. The rest of the house is perfectly fine, and I got to replace the front door. But you got anything you like for air blasting in from outside, you know, around doors?
Temporarily, what you could do is add weather stripping, obviously.
But is there an easy product that, like, you could call it Steve's shortcut because he doesn't want to do much work?
Do you use the door?
Yeah, it's the front door to the house.
Yeah, I mean, no. You mean you have to add some type of weather stripping to the outside of the door. It's self-stick. The problem is it won't stick now because it's too cold. Lock the door. Go on the outside with this self-stick. Mecklenburg Duncan is the name. And they make different colors, white, brown. And just literally it's like tape you're going to put around the jamb of the door against the door. There's like a little piece of insulation that will push up against it. Once we get over 30 degrees, you can stick it on.
What time are you coming over?
Not a chance. not a chance, but very busy this weekend.
It's Lou Manfredini, and you're on the radio tomorrow.
I am.
All right, buddy.
Love you, people.
Yeah, love you.
Hi,
back.
Lou.
See you, bye. And big story next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, I've been taking care of business.
Well, we get a lot of feedback, and people appreciate when we try to help you from being scammed. And, of course, we lean on Steve Burness at the Better Business Bureau to teach us stuff. Good morning, Mr. Burness.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I noticed you were too wimpy to come out in the cold and come into the studio live today.
Mother Nature's too angry this morning.
I think it's a smart move on your part.
Yeah, well, I got meetings in the burbs today.
Ah, yeah, whatever. Okay, the top scams of 2017. Let's run through these quick. ID theft. I was a victim myself. Not getting any better, right? Still getting worse?
Not getting any better. You can't do anything about it sometimes. I've been a victim as well. You can't prevent it. You just got to be vigilant and get your credit report on an annual basis. That's the first way sometimes you figure out you're a victim of identity theft, and it's annualcreditreport.com is the best site to go to.
Travel vacations. If it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true?
Yeah, especially this time when it's cold weather out there. These scammers come out of the woodworks trying to entice you for these vacation certificates. They're all ask you for a credit card for either taxes or that you or some other fees. That's the tip-off to the rip-off when they start asking you for your credit card information without giving you anything.
Steph, you get in the mail that says you've won something that in turn asks you to send money or free money up to claim your prize.
Anything as an advance fee, that's still always the tip-off to the rip-off. Most scams are done that way. They try to give you, ask for your credit card information. That's all they really want, or steal your identity. They're not actually providing you anything.
Tech support.
That's a big problem. We just did a recent study, the BBB, in December of last year, and these pop-ups are really occurring more and more on computers. And basically, it looks like your computer is locking up or that you have a virus and that you have to call this number or click this link to get it fixed. And those are scammers who are trying to take advantage of the situation. Bill Gates has no time to fix your computer, so if you get a call from Microsoft saying your computer has a virus on it, it is fake and fraudulent. And that's all you have to do is shut the computer down and bring it back up. Because those are just simply ads that are pretending to look like they're a virus. It's really mind-boggling how they do
it. Yeah, and they replicate the Google logo, too, and make it look
exactly.
Pretty good.
Exactly.
Debt collections?
A lot of people are paying their debt collections from calls, you know, threatening either we're going to sue you or you're going to go to jail if you don't pay your debt. But they don't have a debt. These are debt collectors or a fraudulent nature and just calling you to pay a debt, and you don't owe it. So if somebody calls you out of the blue saying you owe money, make sure they send it to you in writing what you owe. If from a verifiable source, you just don't have to pay it on the phone.
Question for you about tax collection, Steve. Now, everybody's trying to pay their property. Well, not now, but toward the end of the year, everyone was trying to pay their property taxes, maybe even now. How safe is it to do it online? Should you do it in person? Other taxes that you have to pay come now?
Well, everything online is fine as long as you're dealing with a legitimate source. We're concerned about the fraudulent ones. The tax collections that we have is listed as 5 on our top 10 is actually the fake IRS and Treasury Department calls saying that you owe money to the IRS, and if you don't pay, you're going to go to jail or get deported or lose your license, whatever it may be. IRS does not do that. And the only thing you have to pay in 30 minutes is for a pizza. Other than that, it's a scam. You know, you get those calls from IRS, the Commonwealth Edison, People's Gas, Nicor Gas, saying you owe money in 30 minutes, or you have to pay in 30 minutes, it will shut you down. So those are the ones you got to be worried about.
Job offers?
Those are actually people going to legitimate websites, you know, looking for a job, and all of a sudden somebody will send them an email saying, I have a job for you. I saw your resume online. They try to take you off those legitimate websites, and that's where you run into problems. They promise you jobs. You can make $200,000 a year for doing nothing. However, we just need your credit card information either to pay for an application fee, or we got to run a credit check on you, so we need your Social Security number. So basically, they're trying to steal your identity. So if somebody takes you off a legitimate website from an employment or somebody promises you a job, that's usually an indication that might be a tip-off to the rip-off.
Andrea spends all of her money online shopping. Hey. Is she in trouble?
She's always in trouble, you know, for that. But really, there's so many fraudulent websites out there that it's really hard to determine if it is a fraudulent website by looking at it, because that's all they do is copy and paste and steal the logos. So we always suggest never follow links. You know, if you get something on Facebook or on your social media saying click here for great deals, always we want you to click in to type in the URL yourself for legitimate sources. A lot of times the URLs will have this one character change, so maybe have a double A in there instead of a single A, and consumers think it's the right website, and it's actually a fraudulent website. So do your own research and find the companies that you know and trust.
Instagram and Facebook are really big about doing that. You see a product that you like, and you click on it, and it gives you a time count. Do you notice that? It'll say, like, you have 30 minutes to buy this great product at, you know, $10. And then, but if you do a quick review, if you just Google in the name of the company, all these negative reviews will pop up and say, don't do it, I lost money, you know, your credit card gets charged, and then there will be a recurring charge, too.
Exactly. But this problem is, Andrea, is nobody checks these companies out. Everybody just believes because it's on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be. You still have to do your research and check with the Better Business Bureau and other sources. Just putting the company's name, like you said, in the search engine of Google and put the word scam next to it will get you a lot of information on the organization. But today in fast-paced society, nobody has time to do this, and unfortunately, that's how the scammers continue to make money.
The Can You Hear Me scams on the phone, they're trying to get a recording of your voice?
They're still trying to do that. It's increasing, actually, the calls to the BBB. So basically, they're trying to make you say yes and record your name. They're usually come on saying, can you hear me now? And that's the question that's usually posed. So if somebody ever asks you that question, make sure you just don't answer that question or hang up on anybody you don't know.
The phishing and email and text scams, if anybody's trying to get your information and it's not somebody you know, nobody does that by text. And email is only from people that are reputable companies that you know. And if you have any doubts at all, obviously don't open links and make a phone call to the customer service department at the company.
Exactly. Go yourself to the numbers you know and sell. Never follow an email because phishing emails that try to lure you away from to their organizations, and they're fake. So
you know another one I'm starting to get? I get hi, this is your homeowners association, and you have an extreme violation.
Right.
And we'd like to prevent you from being fined. So I kept somebody on the phone for like 3 minutes yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was going, really? Let's just make sure you have the right address. What is my address? The address that you're at right now.
Right.
Yes, and that address is, just so I'm confirming. You know, and finally they hung up on me because they knew I was wasting their time and they couldn't steal anything.
Yeah, and if you refinance too, you'll notice all these different companies will say, oh, hey, welcome to your new home. Even if though you've just refinanced, you make sure you pay this, make sure you pay this. Don't forget this hidden fee and that hidden fee, but you're done with
exactly.
Everything.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You get a public record when you refinance, so everybody knows that you refinance, and that's how all these companies and scammers get your information. But Steve, you brought up a good point. Anytime there's urgency, you're going to be sued, you need to pay this fine, or your electricity is going to be shut off, that is the tip-off to the rip-off, is that they quickly want to make you to do something, and they want to scare you, saying you might lose your home, you might lose your paycheck, you might get deported, whatever it may be, and that's where the scam is. And a lot of these scams are when people wire money outside the country or wire the money to somebody else. There's also the tip off to the rip off is wiring money. Please don't do that.
No.
Unless you know the person directly.
And the IRS is never going to call you and ask for money. It just doesn't work that
never.
Way.
Never. Never do
as
that.
As a matter of fact, you can never get a human being on the phone from the IRS, so don't assume they're calling you.
Yeah.
Exactly. The key to remember, Steve, is also the caller ID is spoofed sometimes. So
right.
It may say IRS, but it doesn't mean anything. It's a $20 program that could change the caller ID. So that's a lot of why consumers fall for it, because they think it's the IRS calling them.
There's a million call blocker apps for iPhones and for Android phones. I use one called Should I Answer? And when it's somebody that calls that's a scam, it takes 10 seconds afterwards. You hit block, you put a comment in, and the community builds on these scam numbers. Now, the numbers are computer generated, and they get replicated all the time. But again, if you keep blocking these numbers, it prevents the nuisance calls continuing to come into you because the app will block it ahead of time.
Yes, there's a lot of apps out there to work wonders, but unfortunately the scammers just use fake numbers with the caller ID as well, so they get around that somehow. There's scammers always find a way.
But I've been told technology. That there is the algorithm is such that, and you tell me if you know this to be true or not, the algorithm is such that if you block calls, a certain number of calls, the computer then rejects you and you're off the list. You're no longer on the automatic list because they can't break through, which I'd like to believe is true.
I like to believe it, too. I don't have that information. I don't know about that. But
right.
You hear about that all the time, that they're trying to find ways to get around the people who keep blocking. And
yeah, because remember when we used to never get those calls on the cell phones, ever?
Right. Never.
And now it's nonstop.
Everybody's on a do-not-call registry, and you're all getting these calls. But these are from scammers. They don't care about the laws.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Is that if you're getting a call and you're on a do-not-call registry, that means that the company doesn't care or is a scammer who doesn't really care about the law, or they're operating across the pond somewhere where the laws don't apply to them.
Mark Carman is a con man in his spare time, but do you have a question for Steve before we run out of time?
I'm wondering if I've won something. Have I ever actually won something?
No.
Like, never. It's never.
No.
Like
no,
no one's ever won anything.
Well, yeah, they have, but you haven't.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
I mean, that's not paying any money for you win something. That's the key. If somebody tells you won something, but give me your credit card, that's the tip off.
And if Ed McMahon calls you, he's been dead for years.
Yeah. So. Run away if he calls you.
Exactly right. Steve, thank you. Website for the Better Business Bureau.
It's BBB.org. And again, check with the Better Business Bureau first, not after. Sometimes it's too late when you call us after. We have information ahead of time. Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
When my early morning day begins and the sunlight hits my face, I've got the sound of WGN 720 locked in place. Now I've tuned to you, and the day's all bright with me. Yeah, 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 yeah. The voice and wake up call. I know that it can only be the Steve Cochran Show.
See, musical stylings of John DeCosta will sing live on the show this morning. A special treat for you on a Friday Cochran Show.
It's such a feel-good.
Yeah, John DeCosta is going to do Kaleluya live later on. And he's woven in surprise verses. Won't be too big a surprise as I announce it now about the departure of Mike Jacobson from the show. Aww. And the birthday of Mary Vandeville. Mm. Now, who stole whose thunder? Mike, did you steal Mary's thunder, or did she steal yours?
Well, I'm born every year.
So yeah, so my thunder's there.
I mean, he's trying to steal it, but, you know.
I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss this.
And then he comes along.
He comes along, decides to leave today.
Decides to leave today of all days.
I mean, he couldn't wait till the 13th or the 12th or the 11th.
Real.
Why can't you leave on Monday? Rick Pearson is here. Rick is the finest political writer in America. You know who I'd put second behind you, Rick? You know who I really like? And tell me if you know her.
Okay.
Maggie Haberman at the New York Times.
Just very a little bit, but truly covering that White House, she is, she's got great sources, and she is a nonstop worker. I mean, it's just been some amazing reporting that she's been doing for the Times.
Yeah, I think she's really good. She's not you, but she's good.
So I appreciate it.
How about a plug for Sunday show?
Sure. For the Sunday spin, Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy from the Northwest and West Suburbs is going to be on, and we're going to be talking about, obviously, the turmoil going on in the White House, as well as a variety of things going on with the new Congress as it starts with the issue of immigration and the Deferred Action for Children program.
We'll get local here in just a second, but I wanted to start with a national story for you because it's a big deal. Steve just mentioned it in the news. But I think people need to understand, and it's okay if you don't, because, well, you know, you don't swim in this pool. But it's a big deal when the attorney general is asked by the president or the president's attorney not to do his job, isn't it?
No, correct. And it's even a bigger deal when you have the president asking, why isn't the attorney general defending me? Why isn't he my lawyer? Mm-hmm. When he is the people's lawyer? And that New York Times story, on top of everything else, just adds to more concern about you know, what the president expects government to work. And you know, in the larger picture, to me, it's just symptomatic. This is kind of the presidency I think a lot of people thought we would get under Donald Trump. And it's very disconcerting.
If you've read any of the Trump biographies, legitimate biographies, you'll see that this is not new behavior. He has operated his life like a mafioso crime family head forever. And this this demand for loyalty without any loyalty in return is a crime family head move. And that's who he is. And Roy Cohn, if you're not old enough to know the name Roy Cohn, he got semi-famous as one of Joseph McCarthy's hitmen, if not the main one, back in the 50s. And he became Donald Trump's mentor and until he eventually came out as gay late in his life and died of AIDS. And Trump dropped him and never talked to him again.
Yeah, in fact, that was kind of interesting, was a look back at that story. For folks in this session story, you have the president going, where's my Roy Cohn?
Right.
And but and then you go back to Roy Cohn when he was diagnosed with AIDS. One of his last requests that he mentioned to a reporter is, where's Donald Trump?
Right.
So, yeah, loyalty is a one-way street in this White House. You're seeing it now with, you know, these Steve Bannon comments that were excerpted in Michael Wolff's book. And you have the president basically trying to partition off Steve Bannon as some minor staffer in the White House when he was the chief strategist for the White House, chief strategist late in the campaign. And frankly, Steve Bannon was the guy that basically convinced Donald Trump to support Roy Moore in the end for that Alabama yep. special U.S. Senate seat. So these efforts by the president to try to minimize people that were inside his administration that are now critiquing his performance, his abilities, this kind of isolation game really goes to the point of how Donald Trump has always been about himself and about promoting himself. And that, frankly, raises a lot of concern for people about where does that fit into where does this country go?
And I've heard people say, well, he doesn't understand all the minutiae and how the government works. Ignorance of the law and ignorance of your job is not a defense. And the fact that he doesn't understand the attorney general's position and the attorney general, that the attorney general is not his personal attorney, doesn't let him off the hook. So the question is, does he not understand it, or does he truly believe that Jeff Sessions should be his Roy Cohn? In either case, it doesn't matter. The attorney general could be fired by the president, but the attorney general works for the people.
That's absolutely right. And this is not a personal lawyer relationship. I mean, he argues that in the past, people like Bobby Kennedy acted as a personal attorney, as attorney general for John Kennedy. You know, we're in this age where, especially, you know, following the whole issue of Watergate, where the attorney general is a larger position than ever before, and it is supposed to be a separate position. And it's going to be interesting now to see, you know, we've gone through this for basically since Trump has been president about where does Jeff Sessions stand. And as the White House in this New York Times story points out, of the special prosecutor, special counsel, finding more details that raise questions about going after obstruction of justice charges, particularly involving the firing of former FBI Director James Comey. Obstruction of justice, it's harder to prove, but if there are enough witnesses and acts and evidence out there, it's something that Robert Mueller is going to be going after.
It's Rick Pearson from your Chicago Tribune. Andrea's got a question on a big news story about Governor Rauner. I want to get to you right after traffic. By the way, Rick, it's Mary Vandeveld's birthday today.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah. Did you get her the same thing you got her last year, Rick?
Yes, an extra minute for traffic.
Oh, look at you.
Wow, that.
Yeah, not just anybody gets that. All right, what do you got?
Good thing there's not much going on with traffic today.
The Steve Cochran Show.
There's this skunk that's been hanging around, you know, the neighbor's yard.
Nothing but trouble.
Yeah. So it's in our garage. Our garage door was open, and it goes under my car, my Subaru. Steve gets the remote, and he turns the car on remotely. So in the meantime, he gets out the marshmallows, because the marshmallows, he thinks they'll go eat them. And then he gets the pellet gun going so he can scare them to go eat the marshmallows, and then he'll scare them with the pellet gun. I'm like, oh, brother.
Wait a minute. So he wants to now hunt the skunk?
Yes. So now he's going to hunt
the
skunk.
What is he, Elmer Fudd?
Oh, yeah.
Be very, very quiet.
So Mary's conscience, what are your thoughts on Steve's actions?
Well, first of all, how does he know that they like marshmallows?
I don't know. He did his skunk research, apparently.
And second, he starts the car. It could have scared the skunk. Sprays the car. Car smells for months.
That's a good point, Conscience.
Well, that is.
What am I going to do? Put tomato sauce in there?
You know what's really weird is the skunk starting to sound like a little New York and a little more like Mike.
Oh!
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 Ah, it's another fine moment. Combining the insane voices in Mike Jacobson's head along with the birthday girl, Mary Vandeveld. Happy birthday, Mary Vandeveld.
Oh, thanks.
Rick Pearson, from your Chicago Tribune, one of the finest people to ever work at the Chicago Tribune. Of course, there have been a lot of lowlifes at the Tribune, you know.
Oh, no.
That's probably not a great compliment.
The bar is pretty low, yes.
Yes. No. But killing it for us every Sunday morning as well on the Sunday Spin at 7 a.m.
Rick, I have to ask you about Governor Rauner yesterday checked into the VA hospital in Quincy where all of the Legionnaires outbreak, several Legionnaires outbreaks. There have been nearly a dozen deaths in 2 years. Rauner checks in, says he's going to spend a couple of days there. Is this a complete political publicity stunt, or is this legit?
Yeah, well, I think everybody who's looked at this except for the governor has used the term political stunt. People are likening this to 1981 when Jane Byrne moved into Cabrini-Green right. to try to stem some of the controversies that existed then. It didn't help her reelection. You know, this issue of Legionnaires' disease at that Quincy Veterans Home is a very serious and troubling issue. And in fact, after the news came out that the governor had spent the night on Wednesday night there, spent last night there, but late yesterday afternoon, the Centers for Disease Control released its findings of a report from a December 4th visit that basically concluded that in its testing, there was a 2015 outbreak where 12 residents died and more than 50 were sickened. Another five people had Legionnaires in 2016. Then we had another six people, I believe, in 2017, including one fatality. It's the same strain CDC found from the 2015 outbreak. They found again in 2016 and 2017, though not as pervasive in the system. But we're dealing with a facility. It's the oldest veterans home in the state. Dates back to, you know, the 1880s. Some of that plumbing still dates back to that era.
Is that right?
And CDC says that this strain and the inability to eradicate it after spending more than $6 million in new water treatment facilities, boilers, those kinds of things, the inability to eradicate it means that it probably can never be eradicated there.
Right. I don't see what Governor Rauner is moving in, how that's going to
Well, it could be both, right? I mean, I'm not defending it because it's obviously a publicity stunt, but it can be both where it's a political publicity stunt, but it actually draws attention to the problem that maybe it didn't have before because we're talking about it and other people are talking about it or writing about it. So that's the upside. But as an extension of Andrea's question here, yesterday, Governor Rauner made comments about Illinois' punishment, if that's the right word, from the new tax bill. What, 10 days after the tax bill was known to everybody? What's going on with his communications team? Because if you talk about messaging being important to this campaign, which I would think it is, it seems like he's a step behind everybody.
Well, I'm not sure it's the communications team. I think it's the governor himself.
Okay.
For weeks, I and other reporters have asked him about issues of federal importance that have a direct effect on the state of Illinois, including the issue of what was then the tax bill going in Congress. And I specifically asked him at one point, don't you have a responsibility as governor to give your thoughts on where this tax bill should go, particularly when a Republican colleague, Peter Roskam, congressman from Wheaton, is head of the Tax Policy Committee in the Tax Policy Writing House Ways and Means Committee. Don't you have a responsibility to say where you stand? And his answer was he does not have a responsibility to talk about every little twist and turn that's going on in Washington.
It's not a little twist and turn.
So he was virtually silent on this bill until the day it passed and was sent to Donald Trump. The governor said then that he wished it had done more for the middle class, but he thought in the end it was great for business because it would move the nation towards recognizing the importance of corporate America. That was his response then. Then he goes on the radio just the other day and says how this thing is punishing the cap on state and local taxes. Now, in a way, that bill does play into his agenda of wanting to lower property taxes and lower state income taxes. But it's questionable about how that is going to translate, you know, that his agenda is going to be translated from what happens as the consequences of that federal tax bill.
Okay. Rick, another gubernatorial question on the other side of the aisle. Chris Kennedy holding a bizarre press conference 2 days ago accusing Rahm Emanuel, I'm not sure where this came from, but accusing the mayor of strategic gentrification, trying to force blacks out of Chicago. Did you find that just completely out of left field?
Well, yeah, and now he's been talking about how he believes there has been a systematic gentrification, and that's been part of his campaign, quite frankly, in trying to seek support from African-American voters. Obviously, the Kennedy name from his uncle and his father still carry great resonance among older African-American voters from the civil rights struggles of the 60s. So he's been talking about how the property tax hurts them in disproportionate ways, food deserts, crime problems, educational opportunities. He's been talking about that as kind of a systemic kind of system. But this was the first time that he really attached it as a strategic plan and basically put Mayor Rahm Emanuel at the top of this. And, you know, there's no doubt that there are demographic changes that are going on in the city, and they've been going on before Rahm Emanuel. I mean, the number of blacks that have moved out of Chicago between 2000 and 2010 was somewhere around 180,000. So this has been a gradual shift. And in fact, Hispanics now are the number two block in Chicago ahead of African Americans. But that having been said, you know, it kind of raises these questions about, you know, conspiracy theories here. And
well, I think it's a really clumsy message too, right? I mean, there's a way to say the buck stops at the mayor's desk. Blacks are leaving the city because they're incentivized to leave the city without these screaming headlines that make it sound like Rahm Emanuel's in a room trying to figure out how to get the blacks out of town, you know, with some meeting, because that's the message that was left. Now, he was on the show yesterday, and right. And he made the point, or attempted to make the point, that this isn't personal. This is about what's right. And he didn't really back down from the strategic gentrification piece, but he did sort of clean up the headlines, because the headlines screaming that Rahm Emanuel's a strategic racist, I don't think that helps his campaign.
Well, I mean, I know, you know, I don't think he really backed down in your interview with him either. And the fact is, this is what he said. You know, these are his quotes.
Right.
This is not, you know, we're not making anything up. We're quoting him directly here. But this is also part of his effort to try to portray himself further as an outsider, going after Democratic establishment. He has, you know, he's seeing the Democratic establishment coalesce around J.B. Pritzker as the candidate, traditional Democratic allies and organized labor coalescing around Pritzker. And so now this is his strategy, and it's to portray the establishment as basically corrupt bunglers that are cheating people in all kinds of ways. And, you know, quite frankly, on a number of fronts, critics are saying, you know, this is a sign of a flailing candidacy, that he's on a fishing expedition here trying to find a path that can lead to victory in March. We still have a lot of weeks to go here in this campaign.
One last one, Andre?
One last one. Gary McCarthy's exploratory committee website, Gary Mac for Mayor, went up this week. Rick, any more gumption to that? Any more thought to Gary McCarthy making a possible bid for mayor?
Well, it went up and then it went down, and then they were tweaking it.
Okay.
I think here again, this is kind of trying to dip a toe in the water, see what kind of support may exist there.
That's all about the money, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some magic number they need to hit before he gets in.
Correct. And I think that's really what this is about, is just seeing if, you know, step by step, if there is enough energy and cash resources to develop a full-fledged campaign. That having been said, you know, sure, there's a lot of reasons that people aren't supporting Rahm Emanuel, but is Gary McCarthy the most qualified and strategically oriented person to be the one to defeat Rahm Emanuel? I think there are a lot of questions there.
Do you know Michael Wolff?
I do not.
Okay. His reputation is at times good and at times really spotty. He wrote a very thrashing book, if you will, on Rupert Murdoch. It's stunning to me that the Trump people who knew that Murdoch had some sort of relationship with Trump didn't vet this guy as he was wandering around the White House. But there's no way all of that book could be false or made up. And it's out today, and Wolf is doing his first press this morning. And today he's on with our friend Chuck Todd Sunday on Meet the Press.
The most disturbing part of it depends on who you are, but certainly part of it has to be this continued concern that the president is a mess mentally, and he's not fit for the job, and that seems to be the thing that is getting more and more traction in the, inside the Beltway.
Well, and two things from the interview that Wolf did with Today this morning is, one is that, you know, you're dealing, when people deal with Donald Trump, in his words, you're dealing with a child. And it's a short attention span. And again, it's all about trying to please him and make him happy for the moment. But more disturbing is the fact that, quoting Steve Bannon, when it comes to the president's mental capabilities, Bannon says he's lost it. And, you know, in the chaos of this White House, something that I've never seen before, this is becoming a developing theme on Capitol Hill. I mean, you had a meeting in early December with a Ivy League psychologist, psychiatrist, talking to members of Congress about concerns that they have about the president's mental state. And then you see the tweets that kind of follow things.
And meanwhile, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan are still in the witness protection program. Their quiet is the message that they're sending, because there's an argument that Mitch McConnell's never had a better day as long as Donald Trump is incapacitated. That's your government.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
If you were nice enough to come to our New Year's Eve show, there on the big screen you saw Dan Hampton ask for a Fox-free 2018. He got his wish. And I'm assuming most of you did as well. As John Fox, as you know, was fired, and the Bears coaching search is on. Before we jump to Hamp here, Mark, you were mentioning a documentary off the air. Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, Hampo was traveling to see the 80. It's called 85, the greatest team in football history. Scott Preston, Rich Lenkoff put this together, and they did a premiere in Canton, Ohio. Hamp was there. Jim McMahon was there, and I was reading in the Tribune this morning, Hap, you had some words about Walter Payton and not scoring in the...
Oh, stand by, because okay. he is not hooked up with us yet, but I'll let you ask that question. Yeah. But you mentioned Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
Did you also see that McMahon's part of a new Vegas show?
I did see that.
Who are the three? It's McMahon.
I just saw the
McMahon. Celine Dion.
No, it's not. No, but that would be something you'd want to see. Celine Dion and Jim McMahon in residence.
I just saw that. I didn't know there was a three lot. I just saw that he was doing a Vegas show.
It's one of these touring Q&A things that they're doing in Vegas, where it's McMahon and two other sports figures. And each one of them do apparently 20 or 30 minutes of video clips and talking and stuff. And then the three of them come out in the end and do Q&A.
Which is,
is it really taking you this long to Google search this to give me the other two names?
Would that be that big in Vegas?
Apparently people will pay to see anything in Vegas.
Terrell Owens and Jose Canseco. It's called Renegades.
Can I tell you that was the funniest thing I've ever heard? I almost just threw up brownie. It was just so funny.
Celine Dion and Jim McMahon? Well, it's not funny when you see the show. It's very moving.
No, I know.
All right, so Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens, Jose Canseco, and Jim McMahon. This is not what I actually thought you were talking about, Steve. I thought it was something else. He's going to be at Caesar's Palace.
Yes, it's a three-headed monster where the three of them at Caesar's will come out and tell their stories and show video clips, and then one at a time. And then at the end, the three of them come out, and they do a question and answer thing. Point at the end, McMahon will lose interest and he'll walk off.
Is it like a Cirque du Soleil? Like, you know, Zumanity?
So their pension has not kicked in, is what basically...
That's pretty much true. Yeah.
But they should Vegas it up. They should Cirque du Soleil it up, or, you know, be answering questions from, you know,
oh, I'm sure it'll underwater. I'm sure it'll have lasers and exploding pots and lights and things as they limp out.
Yeah.
Terrell Owens was just on Dancing with the Stars. He's in pretty good shape. And I think Ken Seiko's okay, right? I mean, he's a lunatic, but I mean, I think physically he's okay.
He was always cute, like kind of a cutie pie.
He's nuts.
That's an aggressive take on Jose Canseco. Well, yes, he had
the Oakland A's.
Tremendous biceps. I would just say that, first of all, Terrell Owens belongs to the Hall of Fame, but he's crazy too. And Jose Canseco's a phenomenal follow on Twitter, but I wouldn't listen to anything he says.
So I think this is probably worth your $100 or whatever it's going to cost you if you're in Vegas for a show. And when you're in Vegas for that show, you want to see three former star athletes say anything and all the things you wouldn't expect on stage.
Yeah. It's kind of like back in the day when you'd pay to wait in line and get an autograph.
What do you mean back in the day? It's still happening.
Oh, that is true. Except if you go to the conventions. You still got to pay to get in, though.
Yeah, you got to pay to get in. Yeah.
Where do you rank guys that tell all the things that happen behind the scenes? Remember that time when I took a needle and put it in Mark McGuire's behind?
Yeah, I don't like that.
I mean, what are you doing, dude?
Is there this, like...
I don't like it. There's a locker room honor thing that needs to be on it.
I was just going to ask. You guys are both athletes. Is there something... Is there like a...
Only for... Well, not about 35
previous
years.
Previous athletes. Yeah. But is there like this unspoken locker room code that say, Mark does something outrageous, you don't talk about
no,
it?
No, you don't talk about it.
Ever.
No.
Even if someone offered you money.
Well, you talk about it with the guys that experienced it, but you don't talk about it with anybody else.
Okay. I think that's kind of nice. There's still the brotherhood.
I am going to write. I was thinking about writing a book about my intramural days at the University of Iowa. There's some great stories. Really strong.
We're still trying to find Mr. Hampton, brought to you by Chevy. And seven straight years, Chevy, the number one car line in Chicago. ChevyDriveChicago.com. 7 years in a row. But interestingly enough, we have someone calling in to fill the breach for the moment. Good morning.
Good morning, Cochran.
No. It's the coach.
Oh, he's back. Tell him Happy
coach.
New Year.
Happy New Year, Coach.
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year to you. My big theme this year is a Cochran-free year.
Oh, no. Did you have a nice New Year's Eve?
Yeah, I had a nice New Year's Eve. What do you think I am? Of course I did.
I don't know. More of a rhetorical question. So what time did you go to bed?
I haven't been to bed since 1947.
Well, no wonder you're cranky.
I don't sleep. I ain't got time, Cochran.
Do you have any thoughts on who the Bears' new head coach should be?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking it should be me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say it's not you. If it's not you, who else would you go with?
Well, you got to go old school.
Okay.
You got to go Knute Rockne.
Newt?
Knute and I go back a long way, Cochran.
Oh, I thought it was Newt. His name is Knute?
You don't know him like I do. It's Knute.
All right, so Knute Rockne would be your choice for the Bears head coach. All right, well, that's
fair. Defensive coordinator would be A.B. Gibron.
Right? I didn't know him apparently either.
A.B., I'll tell you, A.B. was... He was a defensive genius who looked like a bowling ball.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly what he looked like. All right, we're out of time, but I'll give you one chance to insult me. This is what he does. You know, he calls and he insults me. I'll give you one chance to insult me before we have to go. Do you have anything?
No, I don't want to do that to you, Cochran. I mean, some people drink in the fountain of knowledge. Why did you just gargle?
That's the coach. Not Duck Coach, that's the coach.
The coach. I was going to say, I wonder if he has anything nice parting words for Mike Jacobson, who's a big sports fan, but probably doesn't have anything.
Yeah, he's
nice
already
to
hung
say.
Up. Yeah. He liked Mike.
Did he?
Yeah. He said the kid's got game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not you so much, though.
Not me. 7:48. We're going to try to find Hamp. I don't know what happened there, but Hamp should be joining us shortly. Until we do, let's get the birthday Vandeville done. All right. It is 7:52. Something weird is happening with Dan Hampton's phone. So here's what we know. Hamp is trying to reach us, and we're trying to reach Hamp, but every time he tries to call, he gets disconnected. So I suggest maybe I just fax him questions, and then he faxes me back. Now, granted, it'll take a lot longer to do the bit that way, but we could try it.
Can he text?
No. Something going on with his phone. Can't text either. I could email him if he has a laptop or a desktop nearby, and then he could email me the answers.
Oh, you guys can Snapchat and
well, the whole thing
try
is,
and make that on
I mean,
air.
The whole segment is always ad-lib, so it's hard to sit down and actually pound out the questions now.
No, I'm doing FaceTime with him right now on my phone. Is that an issue?
No, maybe you can tell him to call and maybe not suck up the bandwidth we need for him to call. Here's the thing. I just wanted you to know, here are some of the things I would have asked Hamp if, in fact, he had been on. Sponsored by Chevy, ChevyDriveChicago.com. I would have said something like, Hamp, congratulations. It's a Fox 3 2018. Give me your short list. Who are your three or five that are possibilities? No, we don't know the answer because he's not on. And then I would have followed it up with something related to how was your New Year's Eve? How did you have a good time? Blah, blah, blah. Are you talking to any other Bears greats about who they'd like to see come in? Because you guys know the game better than anybody and you're more passionate about it than this team is. And then I would have said, Mark Carmen's here. And then Mark would have brought up that that documentary you mentioned. Is that documentary available anywhere?
It's going to have a one-night show on November the 29th. It's a one-nighter.
So it's a one-night showing? So when you say a one-night showing, it's only available for the one night?
I in the theaters, Steve, in the theaters. So.
And that's going to be in November?
Yes. Yes. January 29th. What am I saying? November. January 29th. The film will release nationally for one night. Don't mind actual details being correct here.
No.
January 29th. We're not in November. Right.
And where will we be able to see that?
That it does not say here, but I'm assuming that every theater in the city is going to have it for one night on January the 29th. Again, the documentary is called 85, The Greatest Team in Football History. There's one quote in here, Steve, about Hamp and Peyton that's, there's a lot of roles there.
Well, since we don't have Hamp, feel free to share it.
Right? I mean... he says, I personally regret the whole incident with Walter not scoring. I was more callous. I remember telling him the next year when I heard he was whining about it, I went up to him and said, hey, I didn't score either. Get over it. That's where we were. We were tough to each other. Obviously, it touched him and hurt him more than I knew or anyone else knew, but I regret that. I think Walter would be embarrassed by the level of interest and scrutiny that has brought to him. I don't want to say it tarnished his legacy. It was an 8-minute topic that I don't know. I just kind of feel bad for Walter.
Here's the thing that's interesting about that, because I've talked to people connected to the team, you know, on that team outside of Hamp, and just fans as well. Walter was a really smart guy and a really funny guy. And, you know, while everybody else was enjoying the moment, and I think they thought they'd be there every year, as the rest of us did, because we really thought that was the beginning of a run. Isn't it possible Walter thought, what if I never get back?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, I know he admitted this at different times. He was not a pleasant guy after the game. When he should have been whooping it up and enjoying the moment, he wasn't because he was mad that he didn't score. But in his defense, at least for this part of it, don't you think that would be part of it? That he's thinking, what if I never get back here?
Right. And look, I've been here for a decade, and why is William Perry running into the end zone? He just wanted to be honored for everything that he had
done. Dick has said for years, it's his single greatest regret about that game. Not that he'd have a lot of others about that game, but his single greatest regret is he didn't get Peyton a touchdown.
Yeah, and Dick is a big part of it, but you know, maybe Jim McMahon could have just been like, no, we're giving the ball to Sweetness.
Yeah.
I think McMahon just wanted the game to be over.
That's probably true. Yeah. He knew he was going to be in Vegas for this new thing.
Hey, man, haven't we played football long enough?
For this new thing.
Let's do three quarters and go get some beer.
I just wrote a jingle for that McMahon show that would be playing.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll share that with us later.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. We hope to have Hamp on before the end of the program. But since we have a little extra time here, unexpected time, I know a lot of you are wondering, leading up to the college football championship on Monday night, why is the University of Georgia's mascot a bulldog? Haven't you been wondering that?
Oh, I remember I asked you that on the way in.
Yeah. So every time a new year rolls around, you know, you try to better yourself with new knowledge. And in that new knowledge, why is the Georgia Bulldog a bulldog? Do you know why?
Well, actually, if I'm not mistaken, it was originally not the dog part. It was a bull.
No, actually, you are mistaken. That's not, in fact, the deal.
I know someone who actually was on the plane with the Georgia Bulldog, the mascot. And I think you know her, too. I'm just trying to confirm it, where I saw it.
Well, from 1901 to 1917, they were the Georgia Peaches, but that did not strike fear into anybody.
Go Peaches!
Yeah.
Uga, is the handsome bulldog. When Herman Stegeman took over as head coach in 1920.
Herman, yes. Herman
great
Stegeman.
Coach.
Coach Herman. And the team had been previously referred to as the old red and black, and they've been known as the Wildcats. Atlanta Journal sports writer Morgan Blake, remember the great Morgan Blake in 1920?
Morgan, phenomenal, a legend.
Took issue with the fact that it was unoriginal. And there were a couple teams in the South, Kentucky State and Davidson, that were also the Wildcats. So he thought it was dumb. He said, I hope Georgia would adopt some original nickname that would stand out. He said the Georgia Bulldogs would sound good. Yale's the only team I can recall that's got that name. 1 week after the story ran, Quiff Wheatley of the Atlanta Constitution referred to Georgia as the Bulldogs, several times in his recap. The new nickname quickly caught on, and a succession of canines had work for years to come.
It was our friend Stacy St. Clair, Pulitzer Prize nominated, was on the flight, was
with
on a plane
Georgia Bulldog.
With the Georgia Bulldog. He got his own seat, which he sat on the floor, and she pointed out that he didn't look like he could help because he was in that exit row where, you know, they ask you verbally to confirm if you can help, if there's an emergency. And she said he was no help in that matter. But she put a picture of the Georgia Bulldog sitting on the floor, avoiding his blanket and his pillow.
He's a Ugga.
Ugga? It's not Ugga, Ugga. It's Ugga.
Okay. Ugga. And there's, I think there's been like seven of them.
What?
Or eight. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time for a bunch of drunken Frenchmen to decide the future careers of stars of Hollywood and stars who want to be stars. And people who aren't stars yet. I'm calling the French drunk. It sounds like I've been drinking. The talented and lovely Kelty Knight from Entertainment Tonight. It was so nice to get up early this morning, live from Hollywood. Are you excited about the Globes?
Good morning. You know, the Globes are going to be really interesting this year. Like you said, the Globes are really fun because you have no idea what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association is known to just pick random things that they liked for a minute, or hot new shows that have been out for a week to win Golden Globes. And also, this is the event where Hollywood lets loose. The Oscars are very buttoned up. The Golden Globes are in this tiny ballroom at the Hilton. Everyone is wasted. And you never know what's going to happen. I do want to mention there is going to be a little bit of a more somber note this year at the Golden Globes with the sexual harassment movement that's happening in Hollywood. All the women are going to be wearing black. The men are going to be wearing black at all. Seth Meyers has said he won't shy away from that topic as host of the show. But I think there's also going to be some really fun moments, too.
Well, you hope, right? Because it's supposed to be a fun show. And Seth Meyers, who frankly is a much better stand-up than he is a talk show host, and talk show's a hit. But Seth Meyers is, I think, a great choice as host, especially this year, an accident of timing. But I think he'll be great. But he has a great challenge here because you got to talk about it. But how do you make it funny?
Yeah. Well, he said, you know, he told People magazine a little earlier in the week, you know, with the monologue as far as talking about anything in news right now, it seems like this year Hollywood has sort of its own internal politics. So I know that Seth's show is quite political.
Yep.
It sounds like he's going to shy away from the Trump of it all, which he definitely digs into on his show, and sort of deal more with the Weinstein era politics. But it's going to be really interesting on the red carpet. We were talking about this in the ET newsroom yesterday. Like, how do you celebrate film, celebrate the fun Hollywood get-together of award season while everyone's wearing black? Like,
right.
I mean, it's such an important moment, especially for women as a woman in Hollywood, but it also is definitely going to be a challenge for the news media.
I think it's the biggest, you know, the second biggest challenge outside of what Seth Meyers has is all of the designers trying to critique the outfits when everybody's wearing the same color. Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing is yesterday in our Golden Globes meeting at ET, we made a decision that it just doesn't feel like the year that it's appropriate to do who wore it best and worst dressless. Like, it just doesn't, first of all, fashion in black, as some people love it, it's a little boring to look at. This black dress versus this black dress versus this black dress. So I think the fashion coverage will be way diminished this
year.
Yeah,
it has to be, right? Makes total sense.
It makes sense. Like, there's no going to be Nicole Kidman wearing a ridiculous peacock dress in green this year, you know? And my hope is that we make our statement here at the Golden Globes, and then we can have a little fun the rest of award season, but we'll have to see. But we're certainly not doing a best and worst dress list. My hope is that Tom Hanks wins for The Post because he's the nicest guy in Hollywood and a great interview. And I think he will really liven up the party a little bit if he could get up there on the stage.
One of the reasons we love Kelty is the fact that she wants Tom Hanks to win because he's fun to talk to. That's just one of the reasons we love Kelty.
You know, listen, I mean, there are, have you seen many of the movies this year?
Yeah, a lot of them are weird. You know, there's The Shape of Water, I know it's good, but the whole, it's just weird. The love scene with a sea creature, I don't know. It's just, it's hard for me to I don't know.
I have to Sorry, my husband, he like gets really sad every award season because all my screeners come in and he knows we have to watch an artsy movie
every night. Yeah.
And he's like, are we going to watch Star Wars? There's some good. I, Tanya, I felt like was one of the best
movies
of the year.
Yeah, very entertaining.
Margot Robbie was fabulous. And it was exciting. It felt like, ooh, there's a little action. The other movies are quite artsy and you have to really look at them with that sort of eye to appreciate them.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Hey, how about the Time's Up pin, too? I know Reese Witherspoon and Ariana Phillips commissioned this. You will see a lot of the pins now at the Globes, right, Kelty, this weekend?
Yes, and what a way to ring in the new year. I woke up on New Year's Day and I was like, wow, this has been planned and what a launch. So Time's Up, for people who don't know, is a group of over 300 women now in the entertainment industry. And what they're doing is they're putting together a legal defense fund for sexual harassment claims. And what it's meant to do is not really help the women in Hollywood that have million-dollar salaries and million-dollar houses. It's meant to help the people across the nation who have less than, who are working in blue-collar industries that need help. And so that they are, have already raised a ton of money for this, and so $13 million, actually. And, I mean, it's big hitters. Meryl Streep, Reese Witherspoon, Shonda Rhimes, Jennifer Aniston, and some of the agencies have gotten involved, CAA, ICM, UTA, William Morris. So there's a really big letter on their website, and it says, Dear Sisters, and then sort of talks about their mission. And it's very interesting, and I think we'll see a lot of that this weekend.
You know, it's interesting. You and I haven't talked in a while, but I'm curious about your own perspective on this. Have you sensed a different vibe in the way Hollywood has done things in the past few months? Because there's an energy, and I feel like I'm going to try to be careful to say this, but I'll just say it. There's an energy to this flirty thing that goes on, whether it's on a set or whether it's in a newsroom or whether it's a TV station or a radio station or whatever, because as I've said a million times, any guy who is right between the ears knows the line and knows when you're going over the line and knows the difference between harassment and just being, you know, that guy and what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. And women as well, women go, look, I'm not interested in your 12-year-old jokes, and they walk away. But has that all changed, that whole feel, that sense of things since all this came down?
I think there's definitely a change. I think people are really looking at themselves, no matter who they are. I will say that the men who were fine before were fine, and like you said, like they knew the line. And every woman on the planet knows the people who were creepy and the people who were respectful and fun and could be flirty or whatever. And there really is such a big difference. I will say that I see a lot of men saying, like, ooh, can't tell her she looks nice today, don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, that's stupid. But
that's not
the
point. That's what I mean? That's not what this is about. This is about, you know, people sending love letters to my house or calling me after work or all the things that I've had to deal with in my life as a talent on television. And so I think we know the line. There's definitely a powerful force running through the females in the entertainment business. We feel really strong when we feel united. And we feel like the secret's out.
I think that's great.
It's important, you know. And if the men who need to take one step back, and the women take one step forward, and we can meet in an equal place, I think then what a year this will be.
No doubt about it. Well said by you. Is there anything else, Andrea, going on in show business we wanted to ask you about?
Just that Justin Timberlake, his new video dropped at midnight. Filthy.
Filthy. Justin Timberlake.
Filthy, the song.
Yeah,
filthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yes, the song is called Filthy.
Right.
It's off his new record, Man of the Woods. What do you think of Justin Timberlake, like, in a cornfield in a suit? Do you find that attractive?
I didn't so much. Did you?
I was kind of like, why are you in a suit in a cornfield? But, like, I'm all for the themes of Justin Timberlake, and I knew he would have more for us.
I wish he had some talent. You know, sings, he dances, he can act, he's funny. The kid's got nothing going.
We knew a record was coming because, of course, he's performing the halftime show at the Super Bowl this year, and you don't do that without something to promote and sell.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to see. I always think it's really interesting to see our pop stars age and then how they stay relevant. Like, they have to change their sound and their sex appeal because these are, you know, older men. He's in his 40s now. So it's like, it's a different vibe. And I kind of like it.
I like that 40s is old.
You know.
But listen, he's not 21 years old with his shirt off and his six pack anymore.
Yeah, well, neither am I. You know, neither am I.
Neither are all of us.
Kelty, great. Kelty, great talking to you. Have fun this weekend. This is a song we're talking about, Justin Timberlake. Once you do that plug you had to do, we'll keep the Justin up.
That sounds good. Hey, it's appropriate, I think. Coming January 20th, Pat Tomasulo of WGN Morning News gets filthy. No, he gets his own comedy show.
Boy, I wish they'd promote this.
Yeah, Saturday night in Chicago will never be the same. It's called Man of the People, and it premieres January 20th on WGN TV.
All right, so picture Justin Timberlake in a suit in a cornfield doing this.
The lyrics are great.
He sounds like he's underwater, doesn't he?
I like it.
It's awful.
Sounds like
8:24. Happy birthday, Mary Vandeville, today. And thanks to Sandberg, who made some wicked good brownies.
Oh, they're delicious.
Wow.
What? Where?
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, Mary, so it's my birthday, and I haven't even gotten a brownie. Did
Mary,
you guys eat them all?
Mary and Mike's cake.
Mary's conscience, are you upset that you didn't get a brownie?
A little.
Well, yeah, and I'm probably going to get a butt end piece.
I like that.
I won't even get a middle piece.
Are
like
there
I
any
like.
Burned pieces? I do like those.
And you know what? The studio's filthy today. You figured someone would maybe clean the place.
Yeah. It's my birthday. Why wouldn't they pick up?
I tried to clean the refrigerator. I decided against it.
And
today.
Who keeps getting Taco Bell? I mean, this smells to high heaven up here.
To high heaven.
Mike Jacobson is the voice of Mary's conscience. We've revealed the deep secret of the show. And we don't know what we're going to do because Mike's last day on the show is today.
Aww.
He's going off to be a big shot. I don't know. Do you want me to say where you're going?
Sure.
Well, fine. You can say where you're going. Tell them where you're going.
I've taken on a new role with the Illinois Media School, and the fancy title is Director of Education.
It's like a big shot over there.
So it's kind of like second in charge of the whole campus.
Yeah, how about
that? I went there. I graduated from there. So I've been teaching at night part-time and really liked it. They offered me a full-time gig and just looking for a new challenge. So said yes.
Yeah. And he said, when he came to me and he said he was leaving the show, and I said, well, can we bump you up to $5 an hour to keep you here? And he said, no, I really think I need to do this. So, but I'm proud of you, man. So it's a good move. You go boss some folks around over there. Are you going to miss having Sandberg yelling at you in the producer's booth?
Well, I have a feeling Sandberg's not going anywhere, particularly with the wedding planning coming up, too. So I have a feeling she's going to be in my ear constantly.
She has a wedding to plan, Steve. Come on.
Yes. Audrey, your fiancé.
Yeah.
Sandberg's like your unofficial big sister. So.
Yeah, she's my work wife. So I'd like
funny.
To say.
Be funny if she plans the entire wedding and you guys don't invite her. I mean, not that she had a wedding that I wasn't invited to. I mean, you know, it's not like that happened.
You should have been there, though. The food was great.
It was really good.
I mean, the cake could have been better, but the food was really good.
Well, I hope you'll come back and visit, and I hope you will, maybe occasionally fill in. Could we get you to do that? Because
absolutely.
You're a special kind of crazy that we're going to miss around here. So, you know what I'm saying, Mark?
I do. You know, I've worked with Mike now in a couple of radio stops here, and three things I never thought would happen. One, him leaving radio. Two, him getting married. And three, him not wearing a hat. And the fact that all three are happening today.
Same day,
true.
Yeah.
Well, this is good practice for him because he starts his new job on Monday, and I suppose you got to dress up a little, don't you?
Yeah, no more White Sox hat and hoodie. That's probably what I'll miss the most.
How about that? That's what? Nice. That's
and,
what he's going to miss the
You're
most.
You're like almost an
there you go. You're not wearing his hoodie and his White Sox hat to work.
Well, you can have casual Friday. I mean, you're almost the boss. Why don't you just say, hey?
And Mike,
baseball
let me,
hats for everyone.
I'm just curious. You're second in charge. So who's the other guy that works there?
That's pretty good. But a fun fact that Mark is filling in today, because without Mark, I wouldn't have been back here in Chicago, because me and Mark worked together in Houston. And then when the game started up.
I didn't know
here,
that. You guys crossed paths in Houston.
Yeah. And when the game started up, you probably know him named David Kaplan.
No, I've never heard of him.
He's a bald fella. Needed.
Whatever happened to Kaplan? Is
I
he
don't
still?
Know.
I don't know what he's doing.
He needed a producer, so Carmen got me in front of him, and that's how it all worked out when I was living out in L.A. at the time and working out there as a reporter. And then, so without Mark Carmen, I would not probably be married because I met my girlfriend here. on this very station.
Mark Carmen has you Beyonce. Come back, and then Sandberg has Audrey come in and introduces you two, and then you're going to get married. I can't think of what elements not... Oh, that's right. If you weren't on this show, you wouldn't have met Audrey.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, you know, Crazy Kaplan, about being a Jewish mother.
Crazy Kaplan has a fireworks store on the other side of
that's
the Indiana
what he's
border.
Doing. Dave Kaplan runs those fireworks stores in Indiana. That's right.
I heard they're phenomenal.
They really are. Yeah. They have this unbelievable exploding yarmulke. You know, it just goes off in just all these different colors.
Doesn't he have a guy who runs that now? He's got a guy.
He's got a guy. He's totally got a guy.
Do we play his song now?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do right now.
Is that what we're going to do?
This is a John DeCoste original. This is Mike Jacobson's song. Is this ever played? We played this one time?
One time.
Played this one time. Everybody on the show, well, relatively speaking, everybody on the show gets a song. This is Mike's theme song on his last day. Go.
I get here early at the 720 station. A coffee breakfast at the Starbucks where I dine. I do my prep work, nobody else around me. The only time of day no one can hear me whine. The spots and sound bites I produce, I do excel. And plus I do the voice of Mary Vanderbilt. Hello, I'm Jake, Mike Jacobson, producing the shows at WGN. All night, all night. White Sox cap stuck on my head. I even wear it overnight in my bed. All night, all night. I can't tell night from day. It's all the same to me. The place I live in, smaller than a 4x4. When Audrey stays the night, she sleeps outside the door. 'Cause I'm Jake, Mike Jacobson, millennial catch if ever was one. That's right. So right, baritone voice, I have been told, even though I look like I'm 7 years old. Downright, out of sight, but this job's not so bad. I could be making plastic with my dad.
I was trying to figure out how you could get your dad's plastic company in the song.
Right.
Well done.
You outdid yourself that time, John D.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's always the Who for Coach Q. Coach Q Show, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint.
I woke up in a Soho doorway, a policeman in my name. He said, you can't go sleep at home tonight if you can get up and walk away. I stay back.
And welcome, Coach. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Outside of the obvious, how was the rest of New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve.
Yeah, how was
New
it?
Year's? New Year's Eve was all right. We had a we had a dramatic 3-0 comeback and got a point and almost won. But it was it was a good finish to that trip, but the Canadian part of it. And you know, I thought we started the new year off with a great game in New York, so it started off okay.
Now let's talk about this Rangers thing, because I don't want to jump right into hockey here, but let's jump right into hockey here. What did you see against the? Here's the thing: what was ringing in my head, but I'm curious what you saw in the game you haven't seen, you know, lately, maybe in the midst of a couple of slumps. But you've talked for as long as I've known you. You've talked about you got to play 60 minutes. I got to get a 60 minute effort. 60 minutes. That is as good as 60 minute efforts I've seen these guys put out in I don't know how long.
Maybe all year. We really liked it. We thought we had real good energy to begin the game, had good pace, had a puck a lot. We were dangerous off the rush. We had good speed. I thought we checked well. We had a good gap. But our, you know, with the puck, we did a lot of good things, and I think that was that's the part that if we can nail and improve upon, that could really improve our team game. So it was a big win for us, and a lot of positives come out of that game.
Different energy in the dressing room after? I assume the guys were pumped.
Nah, sure. Well, you win a game like that. It's been a long trip there, and it was yeah. You know, you're always wondering about the last game on it. And but I thought the approach was really good in the game, and I thought that you know, I think we're certainly excited about it in a lot of ways. And but we're not so good to start it, and you go on 3 in a 6-game, or you know, you want to do something positive. And I thought we exited with 3 solid games and a lot of good things. So it's a you know, let's take advantage here of being home for a little stretch here.
Do you see any line combinations you really like from that you're going to stay with?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing that Schmaltz in the middle with Kaner and Hartsey has been a real good line for us. And Vinny going with Taser last game was, you know, that they had a good night. So hopefully that can stay together. And so, you know, we feel there's speed there. And, you know, I think we have the puck a little bit more. Hopefully that's that can be the case. But we, you know, it's two game or just one game where that line's been together. But the Schmaltz line at center has been really effective since they've been together.
Mark Harmon's in here for Dave Ennett today. Say hi to Coach Q. Whoops, let me get your mic on. That might help.
That's me. Coach Q, good morning. Hey, I'm wondering when you went to Jeff Glass, if you were looking at it as something that could spark the team, like, hey, rally around this guy, look at the opportunity, 32-year-old rookie, guys, let's do our best for him.
A little bit of that, yeah. I think that was part of it. And I think that one thing about when you think about Glasser, when he's been up here last year and this year, every single time you see him, his enthusiasm is infectious, and he just works. He wants to do everything he can to get a chance to play. He'll do anything for the team and the organization. So you love his approach and his desire to finally get a game, and worked his way through a lot of different channels to get to this first chance. And, you know, his home province with a big win in Edmonton gets a next start at home in Calgary, and continued on here there in New York. So we'll it'll keep going here. So it's been it's a good story for us. But the guys all, you know, really appreciate the excitement that he's brought to our team, and you got to commend him on you know, just his continued approach that he's moving forward, and you know, he's trying to take advantage of a great situation.
You've been really good, really good so far. Any update on Crow?
No news.
Okay. You'll call, though? You know, my phone's always on. What else, Mark?
One more, Coach. I read in the Sun-Times you sat down with Mark Lazarus. It was a one-on-one piece. You met him in a restaurant, and you said it was like going to the dentist, according to Lazarus, doing this one-on-one interview. You hate doing it. I'm curious, is that how you feel when you're coming on the Steve Cochran Show? Because we, of course, love hearing you. I mean, is this a...
Yeah, maybe put it to the next level.
Yeah, he sees this more as elective surgery. You know, maybe it's an appendectomy, but it could be something else he chooses.
Yeah. Very good. That was a good one.
Cool. There you go. Again, not my first day. Yeah. All right, so I feel good about the back end, and the one thing we've heard is an energy problem. Is energy? I saw nothing but energy the other night. You're coming into a stretch now with a lot of games at the Madhouse. The building will be loud. The building will be rocking. We're headed for a good stretch here.
Well, we got some dangerous teams coming in. Vegas, what a good team they are. Boy, they got that's a good story locally there, and it's exciting for the league as well. You got a team coming in here with you know, you don't know what to expect, and now all of a sudden they're leading the division. So that's tonight's test, and let's look to match the what's going to be needed, and that's basically the speed that they generate and they have, and coming out of our last game, we're going to need every bit of that tonight.
Were the expansion rules too lenient here, or were they just that good at identifying talent? I mean, how's this happened? This has never happened before.
Well, they the criteria has changed, and what how many players you could protect, and at you know, these guys were selecting players off teams that you know, you don't want to give up. In the past, it was almost like you know, you don't mind losing the one or two pieces that you know, you're protecting all your key ingredients. But now there was this year was like they're exposed to guys that you know, you don't want to give up, and I think they selected guys that have a lot of speed. And, you know, they use it as the mantra of, hey, you know, nobody wanted you type of thing. And I got a whole team like that. And they welcome that identity. And you know, they're built off it. And it's certainly, you know, it's been a great story for them.
27-10-2.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's for an expansion team. It's ridiculous. Everybody knows how hot they started. But you thought, well, it'll trail off. And they had a mini slump. But they've been nothing but good. My wife and daughter just got back from a few days in Vegas and said everybody's talking about him there, and that logo's all over town.
Yeah, it's it really is. I mean, the games are, you know, tickets are now at a premium, and the building's loud, and they're excited, and everybody wants to go. And but that certainly is, you know, in Vegas, a lot of things happen there, a lot of different ways to be entertained. And but now with the hockey team doing so well, it's definitely front and center.
Blues nipped them last night 2-1. You like getting them where they didn't have as much rest, or does that not matter?
Don't mind a team that played the night before. That'd be nice all the time.
Yeah, take it all the time.
Unfortunately, we don't get it all the time. Yep.
Now, the schedule is such that right now we're going into a stretch where not just January, but February and March are going to have a nice split and a lot of home games as well. So, again, I told you this for years, kids. If you get an opportunity to get to a Hawks game, do not turn down those tickets. If there's a family graduation, maybe a wedding, something going on, there'll be another wedding. Get to a Hawks game and enjoy it while you can, whenever you have that opportunity. And, Coach, I'm excited. I'll be out there Sunday for that 2 o'clock matinee.
All right, perfect. And they got the game following Sunday that turned into actually an a.m. game there against Detroit. I think it's 11:30 start.
I think they moved that up to 7 a.m. It's a breakfast game. It's weird. Crazy early. Coach, Happy New Year. Looking forward to it. Have some fun tonight.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Sponsored by Hooters. You know, it's not just America's wing joint. It is, it's a way of life.
No doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear the Lazarus quote.
Yeah, they sat down for like a one-on-one, even, I guess.
Lazarus is a beat guy for the Sun-Times, has been forever. Good writer.
The dentist. Like going to the dentist. I mean, he just apparently hates talking about himself. It was a really good piece by Mark.
Yeah. He loves coming on this show. Mm-hmm. Loves
it. He does.
Loves it. He wants to come on more, and we won't let him. Mary Vanderbilt, what are you doing for your birthday tonight?
I think we might go see a movie.
Oh,
today.
You're crazy. You're
wild.
Yeah,
I know. Isn't that a crazy thing to do?
Which movie are you going
to
go see?
I don't know. My husband wants to see that Shape of Water.
No, don't do that. Go to the Post. Yes, that's not out till next weekend.
Yeah, it's not.
Although it's limited. Wait, it is limited release in some Chicago theaters.
Yeah, but Vanderbilt doesn't go more than a mile away from home.
Sorry. I'm having problems finding some movies.
Go see
I, Tonya.
It's fantastic.
Like, well, that's nearby, too. Yeah, I want to see that.
That's excellent.
But I saw The Showman, The Greatest Showman. I love that movie. I'd see it again.
Hugh
Jackman.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman.
The music is phenomenal in that movie.
That's another guy that I'm often confused for.
Yeah. I know.
Hugh Jackman? No, it's Steve.
Mary, Denzel. Didn't your husband last year trick you and surprise you with a theater performance, a daytime theater
show? Yes, we did. We went to Drury Lane and saw a show.
He took you to a show. I thought he was recreating a theater performance.
Yeah, the kick line was
spoken
fantastic.
Word.
No,
I don't think we're doing that. You know, my son just had surgery. So
what do you mean? I didn't know this.
Yeah, he had some ACL surgery this week.
Oh,
so
okay.
That doesn't affect your birthday, though, does it?
No, but he kind of needs help once in a while being waited on. But I'm having, I think
is he
going
to be able to play again?
Well, yeah, he'll be fine.
He's only down
frisbee golf, right? Isn't he a frolfer?
He's a frolfer, but he injured this in football, and you know he's played basketball his entire life, and then flag football takes him out. So I'm like
the Steve Cochran Show.
Sandberg's here, producer of the program.
You know, I have a new husband.
Boyle means business. Comcast SportsNet.
There's some systems at the house.
Wait, what do you mean by systems?
Here we go.
So we have a list. So on the list yesterday, there was Diet Coke. He drinks Diet Coke. So I bought some Diet Coke. So I brought it home from the grocery store. And there's an empty Diet Coke box sitting on the counter next to the refrigerator.
You cannot be serious.
He wrote it on the list, but
left the empty containers sitting on the counter.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
He works at night, so I waited for the phone call.
Did he know something was wrong at that point?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hey.
I said, I bought Diet Coke, but I noticed the empty container was sitting on the counter. Were you keeping it for something?
Hello? Hello? Don't hang up on me. I want to talk to you.
Do you ever catch yourself in the middle of these moments, these Sandberg moments, where you go, maybe Steve's right. Maybe I am nuts.
Answer me!
Ah, the genius of Jacobson. Of course, that particular piece couldn't have been done without everything else in it being true. Oh, boy. And here's the remarkable thing. I think I'm right about this, Sandberg. Tell me if I'm right about this. You're the normal one at your house.
I think so.
You do.
We got one more staff thing going on, and that's that Mark Carmen's here for Dave Ennett today. And last time Mark was on the show, we had talked about the fact that you sleep with a stuffed monkey.
That'd be a duck, Steve.
Oh, a duck.
Arnold the duck.
Yeah. I don't know if this will make you feel any better, but I've got an uncle, Dana, who's a little loopy.
Uh-huh.
He's 86 years old. Hilarious. Been very funny his whole life. Never remember him working much, but he traveled a lot to Mexico and Canada.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I said, when you are arrested, how about I get the first interview? So I don't know what he did for a living. I just know he was a fun guy to hang out with. Anyway, he's 86. He's slowed down, obviously. But he lives in upstate New York, where I grew up. And there was a duck outside of his house that had injured itself. And he helped nurse the duck back to health and took the duck in.
Wow.
The duck's living indoors with him.
He's a pet duck.
A real duck. Pet duck. As a matter of fact, I'll send you, Sandberg, I'll send you the picture of the duck sitting on his lap watching TV.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got it. By the way, the duck's name is Chuck. Chuck the duck.
Chuck the duck?
Yes.
That's still less weird, though.
Well, no, it's not.
Than Mark sleeping
you can't
with
say
a stuffed
animal. Still, it's still less weird. Doesn't work in that sentence.
It's still less weird.
Now, how do you prevent the duck from just going to the bathroom everywhere?
Well, that's the thing. He lays out newspaper all over the place, and usually it's the Sunday Times.
Come on.
No, and I didn't know this, but I guess I've seen it. When a duck eats, it shakes its head back and forth, like it gets duck food, and then it shakes its head back and forth.
Arnold does that.
So stuff goes everywhere.
I don't know. I'd find some orange sauce really quick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What do ducks eat? What does he feed him? Vegetables?
Duck food? I don't know. I don't know what ducks eat.
Orange really chicken.
It's not a panda.
Oh, that would be. Wouldn't that be cannibalism, kind of? Duck eating itself.
Anyway, how is Arnold?
Well, there was a period of time here, Steve. You're making me think now. Where I was carrying Arnold around, and so I had this like stuffed animal, you know, cradled in my right arm, and I would be taking the L, and people would see me with the duck, and they'd think it was an actual live duck. You know, you're not exactly thinking that a grown man.
Are
is
you sure
be...
they were thinking it's a live duck, or were they thinking that guy's really weird?
Could have been that. Could have been that. It's possible. But
you know, you're saying all this out loud, right?
Yes, right on the radio here on 720 WGN. Okay. It's 38 states and everywhere to the world. Okay. I got it. Mm-hmm. I got it. Yeah. Well, you got to be transparent in life here, Andrea. Uh-huh.
Wasn't there a movie called Arnold the Duck?
Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
I watched that as a young person. It was kind of disturbing because that duck wasn't kind of dirty.
Yes.
Right, native thing.
Yes, you're exactly right. It's Howard the Duck.
The good news is here, Steve, that Arnold the Duck now has a friend. Me and my girlfriend went to Mexico.
My girlfriend and me.
Yep. My bad. My girlfriend and me. Thank you very much. We went to...
He went to? No, I.
My girlfriend and I.
Everybody calm down. We went to Mexico... And we went swimming with the turtles in this beautiful town called Akumel. Mm-hmm. And when we were coming back, we were in the airport in Cancun, and I saw this beautiful turtle stuffed animal, and I thought this would be something to remember the trip. So
you bought a stuffed turtle.
Yes, which we have now named Akumel. Which
what is Akumel?
Well, that's where we went swimming with the turtles. That was the town. So now we've shortened it up. It's Akumel, which we're using Aku for short. So Arnold has a friend, and now he gets to hang out with Aku all day. It's a beautiful partnership.
Do you also carry the stuffed turtle around now?
Haven't brought the turtle out quite yet, okay, Steve, but you know, the future's bright.
Does that leave hooch just sitting there for every like fill
it's
in
like the
sip?
Liquor chair.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend finds all this okay?
Yeah, no, she's totally into it. It's a beautiful thing.
Marry
is she
her.
Adopted Arnold?
Pretty much.
Marriage.
Does she think Arnold is her child? Is she like Arnold's mom?
She does like to protect Arnold. There's some protection going on there, yeah. It's a harsh world out there.
Do they like, stay on the bed, Arnold and Aku?
Yes, they've been washed, Mary, though. Don't worry.
Oh. Oof.
Again, this is all out loud.
So, you know, like, if you're divorced and you date, there's a point where you go, well, we can talk about my kids and stuff, you know, and you figure out, you got to bring up different things at different times.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Just because a record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move.
Stevie Wonder. Sir Duke, 910. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Dave Ennett is off today. Mark Carman's here for Dave. And it's too bad Dave's not here, because one of the things that happened on the New Year's Eve show that got rave reviews, well, I got to back this up a little farther. So we know that Dave loves kale.
Mm-hmm.
And in the summertime, if he gets hungry, what he does is, for you SEAL TV listeners, he'll go outside, I'm pointing now outside, to the median on Michigan Avenue, and he'll just munch on the foliage.
Yeah, not on the lawn.
Which is tastier than kale.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves the kale. So we were talking about a New Year's Eve idea in one of the video pieces, and I told John, I said, well, you probably don't know this, but Dave has invested in a line of kale stores. And you know, they're struggling to find a name.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we pitched a few names, and we came up with what would we come up with?
Mountain Greenery.
No, that's not what we came up with. We came up with Kale-Aluja.
And it's perfect.
Kale-Aluja.
It's very emotional. It's got the kale tie. Yeah.
And he did a commercial for Kale-Aluja, which I'm sure you'll be seeing soon.
It was good.
Yes. But you wrote and recorded, and we shot it on video, beautiful song called Kale-Aluja.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, it might sound like a song you may have heard before, but that's probably just you.
I've been accused about this before, but all of my songs are original.
Right. Right.
Will this song make you cry like the one that it's supposed to sound like?
It won't make you cry like eating kale will.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
But Kale-Aluja, the song. Should we even try to get Ennett on the phone? Let's assume he's listening. Here's Kayla. You going to do this live?
Yes.
All right. Whenever you're ready, here's John DeCoste, musical director for the program, live in studio with an original composition that he calls Kale-Aluja.
I heard about this cabbage green. Dave Ennett said keeps your inside clean. All the bad things you consume go right through you. Well, I tried it once just to entertain. Now I'm hooked on it like it's kale cocaine. And I'm shopping once a day at Kale-Aluja. 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 Now there's more to this. It's Jake's last day, and then he's gone. He leaves the show, now he's moving on. I'll shake his hand and say the best of luck to ya. The sound master, like no one knows, he'll teach the young to produce their shows. We'll say goodbye and we'll say so glad we knew ya. 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 But it's also...
Wait, there's more?
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, it's a special day for Mary Vanderbilt. It's Mary VD's special day, a birthday wish for all to say. She never looks her age, she'll always fool ya. Her updates come with grace and flair, like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. So from all of us, a happy birthday to ya. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
You're not even in tune.
Yes. Yes.
Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Man. That was awesome.
Johnny.
And you know what's going through my mind? What? I thought, when I die, I want you to sing Hallelujah at my funeral. Yeah.
Oh, look. Now, John's getting a hug from Mary.
Was the Jake part? Come on. Did you get a little verklempt during the Jake part?
No. I was just trying to mix it.
I thought it was so good.
John, you've outdone yourself. Well done by you.
Always fun. Always
Mary,
fun.
I hope you were entertained.
Oh, made me cry.
Oh, dear.
Awesome.
And Mike, try to have this much fun at your new job, Mr. Big Shot Boss.
Wow.
Right?
That was great, John.
I mean, it was a little out of tune, but it was good.
I think that was a happy
He's right.
Part.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah. 916. Now, this is the thing that amuses me as well. And you and Sandberg you're conspiring to do this. You may remember just before, or maybe it was right after Thanksgiving. I said, you know, it'd be cool for Christmas. Let's have John do an original song for one of the listeners.
Right, it's a Christmas song, right?
Right, right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So Sandberg, because she knows me, and John, because he knows me, said he hasn't brought this up. You're leaving. You know, he's going to forget about this. So let's just let it go. I remembered it like a day before we left for break for Christmas, and I remembered it today.
I know. How special you are.
Yes, so if you enjoyed Kale Olivia, you can now drop a note to you socially. Let's leave it to your Facebook. How's that?
That's good. Actually, that's good. I like that.
And you could send to your Facebook, John's Facebook, he'll give you the address in a second, a request for an original song. Now, you can make it about you. You could say it's for me personally, or you could make it about somebody else.
And it will not be a Christmas tune, correct?
No.
It could be whatever.
No,
so
weird if it was a Christmas tune.
Yeah, we were already done with that.
Yes,
so.
And it can't be Hallelujah.
It cannot be Hallelujah, yes.
Oh, my God, that was so cool.
So what is your Facebook address?
John DeCaus.
@ John DeCaus. Spell it?
Yes.
J-O-H-N. We got the J-O-H-N part. The John. P is silent.
No, you know, I get a lot of that. Is it J-O-N or J-O-H-N?
J-O-N.
I do get that a lot. D as in David, so D-A-C-O-S-S-E. John DeCaus, Facebook.
And just send a Facebook post to John saying, perfect. This is a song I'd love for you to do. Here's the person.
Yes.
This is why the person's special. And we'll do a random draw of all the entries.
Perfect. And we'll do this later this month, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
And just so you and Sandberg know, when you think I'll forget about this and forget to bring it up, I won't.
Well, and but in her
because Andrea
defense, will
remind
I won't remind
me.
Him, yeah.
But she remembered, Mary remembered, and I was already in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I laughed and go, I don't know how this is going to work. So we let it go.
You're telling me at no point there was a conversation that went something like this. He's not going to remember. Let's just drop
it. No, that's exactly what we said.
That's exactly right.
There's no way.
Of course it is.
Can you sing it again?
It's 9:18. So send those in. Facebook again, @ John DeCaus. Let's do this. We'll come back at 9:19 and continue with the festivities here. Mike Jacobson's final day at 720 WGN. More tomorrow.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The five stages of goodbye. Because in the home visit, if you're leaving the house, there's the goodbye in the kitchen.
Bye-bye.
There's the goodbye by the door where everybody puts their shoes back on.
Bye-bye.
There's the goodbye out in the driveway, and then the goodbye in the car.
It was good seeing you.
And then there's the goodbye as you stand in the way.
Well, see you later.
One more. The people that you forgot to say goodbye to.
That you go back for?
Oh, did you say goodbye to Steven, you know?
Just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
There should just be a universal goodbye where you're either if you're at a restaurant
Bye.
Or a house. Exactly.
You love your family, you love your friends. It's just like, okay.
There it is again, the flapping mouth. How odd.
I want to see motion, movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
So long, farewell. Auf Wiedersehen, adieu.
Adieu, adieu. To you and you and you.
Steve Grzanich has joined us in the big room here, the showroom.
So long, farewell.
This is my favorite song. I love this.
I'd like to stay and taste my first champagne.
Yes?
No.
I'm going to give Mike Jacobson a chance. Is there anybody you want to thank? Anybody you want to say goodbye to? I mean, you don't have to. I just thought if there's somebody you want to just mention on your way out the door.
Well, I would like to thank everybody here, management including, of course, Todd Manley and the departed Jimmy DeCastro now, but they...
Whatever happened to him? Is he with Kaplan somewhere?
I don't know. He's probably being very negative and not positive wherever he was.
I know people that see him every day. I think I know where he's at.
What, they hallucinate? What's that about? And?
Obviously, I wanted to thank you guys as well. I'd like to thank David Kaplan and David Haw, because I used to produce that show when I first moved back here, and just everybody I've worked with. I've had an opportunity to pretty much work with everybody at the station at one point, I think. And most of all, thank you for allowing me to be a part of this for almost 2 years.
Listen, you've done great, great work. You don't have to thank me. I thought you wanted to thank other people. That's all.
Well, thank you, Andrea. Thank you, Mark Carman.
Mike, we love you. One of the best producers I've ever worked with.
Yeah, and just the right amount of nuts. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Every time I put on my Kaka shirt now, I'm going to cry a little.
Well, you know, he has, and Steve, you know this because you're almost as old as I am. He has this ability. It's sort of a, you know, it's like a Spielberg thing with film. He has this ability to hear, I could take this from that and put it in here and take this. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I know. It's sort of a, I don't know, like a sixth sense.
It's crazy. Almost. It's a special kind of crazy.
It's called creativity.
Yes. Well, okay, if you want to stretch. Yeah, you
very
could call
creative.
It that.
I just looked up the word genius.
Yes.
Mike's
is
not
there
in
a picture of Mike?
No,
it's not a picture
there's
of Mike.
No picture of Mike. There's a picture of Lassie.
Lassie. Which one?
Which one? Yeah.
Number five.
There you go.
How's your new year off so far, Steve?
My new year is going fine.
Yeah, everything all right?
Yeah, I had a really great holiday season. And
did you get downstage? See your mother?
I spent 5 days with my sister, and my twin nieces, who are 7 years old, were just phenomenal.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
One of them has lost her front teeth, and so we sang a lot of All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth.
There you go.
And she's 22?
She's 7.
So oh, okay.
Going on 22.
And Mary, did you see Grandbaby over the break?
I did. I saw her Christmas and a couple days during Christmas. So big.
Yeah,
she doesn't
cool.
have any teeth yet, though. Not quite.
And for those of you wondering if I'm going to bring Abigail Grace up. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
she's
wasn't great. Here.
So
she wasn't here for her birthday. Is she all better?
What? No, I mean, you know, these little guys and girls, they're human petri dishes, so yes. She's got something funky again.
Poor thing.
So what did Grandpa get her for Christmas?
Oh, she got everything. But her thing with me is Elmo, so she got her first Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Oh, that's cute. Remember as a kid you used to circle all the pictures in the Sears catalog? Mm-hmm. Abigail got the whole catalog.
Actually, I got, and this is kind of cool, I bought it for myself first time, I got a Tickle Me Tyra. It's a life-size Tyra Banks.
Oh, that must be huge.
She's over the whole breakup, right?
Yeah. It's not actually her. It's a stuffed version of her for the old days.
Is that from Mattel? Does Mattel make it?
Mattel actually doesn't make it. No, it's a specialty order.
Tickle Me Tyra.
Yeah, it's a whole different thing. All right, I got a couple of extra minutes here before we go to the big story. And I don't have time. Normally, we might do three things, which is our time killer, where we do three stories. I don't think I have time to do all three, so I'm going to give you guys a choice. You heard that Alex Trebek is going to be okay after brain surgery. What is brain surgery? After brain surgery, he had a blood clot in his brain. And you put a video up online yesterday talking about it, and he's going to be okay. So that's great news. But I have a Jeopardy story. I also have a story with a headline. No, that's not that story, a different Jeopardy story. I have a story, animal most likely to kill you in each state. It's a survey that's been done, the animal most likely to kill you in each state. Or exploding pants were a problem in New Zealand in the 30s.
Ooh,
which of those three stories would you like to hear more?
I'd say animals.
Yeah, I'm kind of animal. Yeah.
Animal.
So in Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, can you tell
us?
All right. So let's go to the list. Again, these are animals most likely to kill you in each state. Well, what would you think the Illinois one would be?
Coyote.
A bear?
A deer?
A pit bull? A rat?
Pit bull? Let's take some votes. Pit bull? No. Animal most likely to kill you. Got to remember, it may not be
in Illinois.
Oh, I'm going to say a deer.
Oh, it's got to be the
rhino.
I'll
say a deer too.
Okay,
The rhino.
They break these down into various categories. In Illinois, you're most likely to be bitten or crushed by a large reptile.
What? Come on.
Yeah. Look, I didn't make the list up.
Like an iguana? Like what?
Yeah, what large reptiles do we have?
A snake.
Well, you could have gators or crocodiles that are raised as pets and released into the wild who crush or kill you.
Okay,
Mr. Rhino.
Yeah. Deer would have been
I think rhino was a better answer.
Rhino.
Wisconsin, again, this is from Mental Floss. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Well, that's a deer.
In Wisconsin, you're likely to be bitten or struck by larger mammals.
Right.
I like the struck part.
Wow.
Struck.
Like minding your own business and a deer runs you down or a cow.
Probably what
is,
hunting.
What is cheese, Alex?
Brie.
Let's see. In Indiana, same thing. Larger mammals. But in Michigan, you're likely to be bitten or struck by a large dog.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
really?
Michigan dog deaths.
Yeah. Over the badger.
Yeah. I did her eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Wolverine.
Michigan Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Getting around the country. Let's see. Texas, venomous spiders.
My college roommate moved to Corpus Christi and had rattlesnakes in her backyard.
Oh, my gosh.
Texas is terrifying.
What about Florida? What was Florida?
Venomous spiders as well. So,
how about Arizona?
Causes of death with less than 10 fatalities are made confidential by the CDC. This is basically anything over 10 that leads the state.
10?
In animal deaths, animal-related deaths.
So my rhino thing couldn't be that far off.
No.
With 10 people.
Unless and here's the thing about getting killed by a rhino. Not all rhino deaths are reported.
That's right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Sandberg's here. You have a marriage question for Dave and I?
I do. And Mary.
All right, so you're laying in bed and a conversation is going on.
I said, hey, I want to talk to you about something.
Here we go.
What do you think our plans are for when we die? Are we going to be...
Gosh.
Are you planning on...
Happy weekend!
So, you know, it was pretty good. It's a good weekend.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fine.
He wants to be in the ground. Well, I want to be cremated, but I'm not letting him be in the ground to wait for some other chick to be next to him.
Mary, have you discussed this?
Yeah, we actually, my husband kind of made the decision for me because he bought our plots in our his little hometown when we were married. He goes, by the way, they were 2 for $100. I got the plot. 2 for $100.
He got them on sale.
That's 15% off the lowest prices in town.
I go, seriously?
Hey, I got a Groupon.
I thought it was kind of romantic.
There's not a guy listening who hasn't had that experience where at some point your wife, your girlfriend sits up like an electrical shock has gone through her body and goes, hey, I was just thinking about something that never crossed your mind. You hadn't thought about it. It didn't cross your mind. It wasn't going to cross your mind. But guess what you're going to do? You're going to talk about it. And you're going to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
So, Sandberg, how did that ever end? Did you guys decide that when you die, you'll be buried together?
Well, I pretty much have decided that. But it hasn't ended. And now, you know, that Mike is engaged, I would suggest you have that conversation with Audrey.
I'm actually waiting for plots to go on sale. So.
Yeah.
And then before then, we might just get cremated and there save some money.
I do want to be cremated, but, you know,
But cremation can be very dirty and dusty. Which is not your look, Sandberg.
It is not my look.
But somebody else is going to scoop her up and put her in an urn.
Mike, have you witnessed a cremation recently?
Have you picked out a style of urn? I mean, and is there an urn in particular that you like?
No, I don't want us... Remember, I said I want us to be like... on a golf course we play. Oh, like I don't want us to be inside on a mantle.
What's the name of that furniture company?
Goody Mustard?
No, that makes furniture out of recycled bottles.
By the yard.
Oh, by the yard.
Yeah, by the yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the yard. We could have furniture made out of cremated Sandberg.
Mm-hmm. The Sandberg line.
Do you want to get like one cremated and then whenever the next one comes all mixed together and then have the moment? Is that what we're talking about?
Well, you'd have to. I don't think you could make a chair out of just Sandberg.
This is so morbid. Whatever happened to the good old-fashioned burial? You go, you get put in the ground, people come visit, bring
that's
flowers.
The thing, though,
I don't know. I'm torn. I'm thinking about cremating half of me. Because I am just undecided.
But don't you want people to come visit you?
No, people won't come. That is an outdated...
I will come visit you.
You won't, though.
Nobody
that's
goes
why
anymore.
I don't
but I
be
would have the best of intentions to
try. No, that's not true. That's not true. I go to my parents' cemetery.
I go to my parents' grave.
Then you go to New York like once a year.
Well, a couple times a year.
Just put a phone down there.
You can so you're saying, So you're saying if I live there, I wouldn't go.
I don't think you would. I know my husband, and he's not making a trip out.
Well, his new wife isn't going to let him go visit you.
I know. True. This is why I cremate me and put me in a golf course, so I'm happy, because no one's coming to see me in the ground anywhere.
If they turn you into a bench, that's going to be the most judgmental bench.
Right?
On a golf course.
Actually, yeah.
Ever.
Actually, the bench on that hole will shout, "Nice shot, loser."
You suck.
As soon as they
I
hit.
Think a lot of people, too, bury their ashes now in the grave sites.
Oh.
I know a lot of people that
have. Oh, let's go around the room. Yeah. Buried or cremated?
Cremated.
Buried or cremated?
Cremated in the spice rack.
Buried or cremated?
Not dying. I'm living forever.
Uh-huh. Buried or cremated?
Buried, but I want a nice, ornate tombstone, and I want a little vase so people can come bring flowers.
Well, you're Greek, so you're totally getting that headstone.
I know. It's a total Greek thing.
Vandeveld, this is your birthday. Buried or cremated?
I think I'll be cremated, but then I have to be buried in that plot in northern Wisconsin.
You don't have to be.
It was a twofer.
Just because you bought it doesn't mean the last decision of your life is you have to go there.
Well, it depends on who gets there first, I guess.
I was going to say, if she goes first, Steve's putting you there.
How did he approach you with that? That's why I wanted to make that rejoin. How did he approach you with that? So, honey, I went to the grocery store.
Guess what I got?
I also,
it was years later. He did it like after we got married. I didn't find out for years afterwards. I think we went to visit
one of his
relatives at the gravestone. He goes, by the way, see over there? That's going to be you. I go, what?
All right, Jake, buried or cremated?
I would say right now.
Come on, you're 32. Make
stuffed.
Up your mind.
I'd like to be stuffed.
Like a taxidermist.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Donated to science.
You could put me right in the corner. I'll be smiling.
What if you just stuffed my head and kept it on a mantle?
You're young enough.
I don't have that kind of room in my apartment.
You're young enough, too, that science may find a way to keep you alive much longer than all the rest of us.
That's true. You may live long enough where that whole cryo thing kicks in.
Yeah. Won't have any Social Security, though, will I?
No, absolutely not.
Still be working.
Would we have to dust your head?
My head? Sure. Oh, yeah.
No, I don't want to.
But imagine, like, you could use my
fireplace.
You could use my forehead, like, with push pins as a bulletin board. I mean, there's lots of.
Oh, there you go. Or you could put a bunch of picture frames on there.
They got a to-do list.
What do we got going today?
Oh, it's a good thing Ross has a sick sense of humor, because he listens to this podcast later in the day.
Yeah.
If I ever heard my father talking like this, it would have upset me. He'll just go laugh and add more.
Uh-huh.
Samber?
You know, we've talked a lot about Mike leaving and how this affects him, but no one's really focused on how this affects me.
Yes,
God,
and
we're so selfish.
And I do believe I'm the most affected.
Yes,
because
and
he's the co-producer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm concerned that the person that replaces him isn't going to understand me the way Mike understands me.
Well, you're assuming anyone understands you. That's a leap.
Mike fakes it.
You think he fakes it?
I don't know.
Oh, there's no question he fakes it.
I think he appreciates the nuances.
I think he does, too.
I appreciate your quirks. I appreciate the nuances.
You're just sucking up because you're still going to be here.
No. She's a great producer. Mm-hmm. And she's.
Let's hear the truth from Mike.
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. We're all scared of her. Yeah. We're all scared of her.
I think she's an awesome person.
Well, no, she is. She is like my work wife. I mean, I probably text with her more than anybody besides my significant and my fiance. I should say now.
Yeah. Well, what about your significant other? You text with her as well. Yeah.
She's on vacation, so.
Next week, Joe Romano,
who
we like Joe very much. Mm-hmm. Joe's going to be filling in, and Joe's interested in the jump, so who knows?
Will you answer his hotline calls if he calls you and asks you what's going on?
Absolutely. I don't sleep. You know that. Yeah. I've been in radio. This is 10 years now in radio, so this will be the first 9-to-5 job I've had in 10 years.
We don't know what Dave Kaplan or Jimmy DeCastro ended up doing. Maybe they want the gig.
Yeah.
I've already asked Mike what time he plans on getting up for this new job, so I know what time I can start texting him in the morning.
Yeah.
It's hard to let go, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. We have a whole thing, like we do our coffee together. Mm.
Well, you still have wedding planning to do.
I know. So they're hearing from me a lot.
Oh, she's very much involved. I think she's actually been more part of the planning process than I have in the first week.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are you talking to? She's like, Mary.
But see, I was concerned about this with you anyway. I really think you need to back out of it and do what all grooms do and just go along with the plan. Because honestly, you know, Seinfeld did a bit about this years ago, John. I don't know if you remember. But he said, it's just a tuxedo.
Yes.
You don't even need to show up. You're completely interchangeable.
That's right.
If she changes her mind walking down the aisle, next man up. Just move the line over one.
The one thing is, Steve, he's a millennial. And the millennial men are more involved than the average.
Well, he's also very sensitive.
He is. Look at you.
He's in touch.
The thought you put into the engagement.
He's very in touch with his feminine side. No, he's very in touch with his emotions.
His emotions.
And he's a romantic guy.
He's also a creative, and creatives like to be involved
with
putting these things together.
Yeah.
He's a complete jerk.
Right, well, that's a whole different story.
Control freak.
I thought we just
stumbled
out. Yeah.
So, anyway, this started with what? I've totally forgotten, though. So, show
that's
spun out of control.
My leaving affects me.
Oh, yeah.
Death.
No, it started with death. All right, so I don't know if I want to be cremated or buried. And here's why. Cremation, it's hot in there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not the dry hot. You know what I'm saying?
But it's cold underground.
Yeah. But the whole buried thing, I'm not claustrophobic, but that whole idea seems very confining
to
me.
You'll be dead in both scenarios, so it really doesn't apply your thoughts to it.
Do you know that for sure? I don't know that you do.
And you know, also being buried, that's a big environmental footprint that you're leaving there with all the embalming fluid.
With the size of that head?
Other stuff underground.
Well, that's why the cryo thing might work, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Right. So maybe you cremate me from the neck down, you keep my head on a mantle.
Think about how many more golf courses there could be, Steve, if you lead the way or follow the way.
How many people's headstone weighs as much as their head?
Wow.
If this was fifth grade, this would be so painful.
Yeah.
So if you could be anything, you can come back alive as anything, an animal, an inanimate object, whatever, what would it be?
Maybe a golden retriever, sort of like a golden retriever's life.
Aww. What about you, Grizzle Bear?
Oh, a dog. Absolutely a dog.
Yeah.
What kind of dog?
Probably a Labrador retriever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Grizz and I would hang out.
And snip
each other, yeah.
We'd see each other socially. We don't do that now.
Oh, God.
What about you, Johnny?
Illinois Rhino.
Yes, the Rhino. Yes, of course he would. Yes.
Nice.
Carm? I don't even know if I want to ask this.
Are you picking a
leopard. Something that's hanging out super fast.
Leopards don't even talk that way.
You all picked animals.
Yeah, what would you? Oh, yeah.
Would it have to be an animal or
no?
It
can be
animal.
Anything.
I don't want to be an animal.
I think I would.
By the way, for CLTV, just quickly for CLTV and people listening,
I don't want to be an animal.
How many of you are thinking Steve ran out of material at what time?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I would say, I haven't given this much thought. Maybe like a rock star, you know,
Pat Benatar. One of those 80s
something
types,
like where I could play guitar or drums.
Yeah, you're
or
a total 80s rock star.
I don't want to be a rock star.
I want to be a flapper in the 20s.
Yeah, you'd be a dancer.
You could see that.
You can time travel when you get reincarnated, can you?
Is that post-depression? Because, Mary, I think you may enjoy the depression.
Yeah.
Hey, literally.
I think that may be your time.
Right. I missed that slam. Oh,
I finally feel at home.
It's that all the men
can have fun in the
all
depression.
You guys, and we didn't ask Mary yet, though, but all the men have picked animals to come back in.
Well, I was just going along with the flow.
I didn't know I could be a human being and pick a different life. That's a whole other animal.
I'm coming back as Serena Williams.
See, we all pick women, or we all pick people.
Serena Williams.
All day.
I guess Serena Williams is now taken, so I guess I can't go in that direction.
And hey, Steve, one thing, since he's in there, the only people that didn't get a mention when we talked about Mike's engagement were his lovely parents.
Is true. So.
Wow. We didn't talk about your parents?
No. I realized.
You big loser. Mention your parents.
So, yes. Wow. Thank you to Bob and Sandy Jacobson for having me.
Mike, thanks for way to be born.
And way to be born.
That's
exactly.
What you always tell us.
That's what I always say at everybody's birthday. Way to be born.
To
so,
be
yes.
Born.
Thank you, Bob and Sandy, for and being very supportive. So.
And I think it's awfully generous of Bob and Sandy and also Audrey's family to invite all the listeners to your wedding. So we'll keep you up to date on when that's going to happen.
We'll all have steak.
It's 9:53. Bill and Wendy coming up 720 WGN.